He's going to take it himself for a championship!
A double play wins it for three.
Turn it to the end zone. What a catch!
This broadcast is a production of the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Good evening from Memorial Stadium in Canonsburg. Tonight, the WJPA Sports Network presents the WPIL Football 1A Semifinals, pitting defending champion and top seed Fort Cherry Rangers against the upset-minded number 13 Gennett Jayhawks. Hi, everyone. I'm Bob Gregg, along with Jack Sacco here in the booth, along with a cast of thousands on WPIL semifinal Friday night. Jason Tennant is our director, Josh Laird, Dacia Skulnekovich, Brandon Bennett working cameras, Noah Tennant operating our video scoreboard, and Jacob Knisner producing in our downtown Washington studios. Last Friday night in the quarterfinals, Fort Cherry allowed a pair of touchdowns to Cornell before registering a first down. But Matt C. got the Rangers in gear, scoring twice before intermission to take a lead that they'd never give up, ousting the Raiders 27-20. Jeanette continued its upset run through the 4-5 bracket quadrant 1 week after eliminating number 4 Neshanic on the Lancers' home field. The Jayhawks won a back-and-forth struggle with number 4 Greensburg Central Catholic 29-23. Jeanette trailed 7-0 and 15-13, but second-half TD runs from Kimoni Brown and Nick Mendoza were enough for the win over the Centurions. Tonight's game on the WJPA Sports Network is brought to you in part by Washington County College Center, operated by Community College of Beaver County, by Chem Oil in Oakdale and TJ's Deli Mart in McDonald. From the Chem family to your family, enjoy the ride safely. By Curtis Pharmacy in Washington, Claysville, Connellsville, Carmichael's, and online at curtispharmacy.com. By Bud Bear Mazda on Route 19 South in Washington, home of the Bud Bear Cares Rewards Program. By the Day Insurance Agency on East Maiden Street in Washington, on Main Street in Hickory, online at dayinsurance.com, celebrating 50 years of service. By Imperial Land Corporation, supporting the Fort Cherry Rangers. And by CNX Dreamfields, making your dream field come true. Our coverage tonight also brought to you by Washington and Jefferson College, where changemakers get their start. Log on washjeff.edu. Kramer's Greenhouse, Cole Tipple Brewery, and Raccoon Creek Winery. Born in Fort Cherry, brewing in Burgettstown. By R.J. Diaz, your safe money guy in Bridgeville, Burgettstown, and Washington. By the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, celebrating our region's rich athletic tradition. By Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation and Advanced Surgical Hospital. By Precision Marshall Steel. Join a winning team. Log on steeljobs.us. By Washington Financial Bank. For 125 years, proud to be the bank that gets you. And by the law firm of Gordon and Rees. Continued best wishes to the Rangers from Gordon and Rees and the entire Miller family. Just a little programming note, due to the length of the Bentworth soccer match into overtime, a disappointing end for the Bentworth Bearcats, a 1-0 loss 9 minutes into the overtime period, the Lancaster Mennonite. We will not have Coach's Corner for you this evening. But coming up in our next segment of our pregame show, we're going to take a look at all of this weekend's matchups in the WPIL UPMC Sports Medicine football playoffs. That's when our pregame show continues on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Community College of Beaver County is now in Washington County. We are here with the support you need and the value you want at the Washington County College Center. Explore our in-demand career paths in aviation, education, and criminal justice, or start college early with dual enrollment courses and high school academies. At the Washington County College Center, your pathway to success starts right at home. Learn more at ccbcwashington.com.
It's good to go at TJ's Deli Mart and McDonald. Fill your tank, grab a snack and drink, and go. TJ's Deli Mart has sandwiches and hot foods, too. When you're running around this holiday season, pull into TJ's Deli Mart, get what you need, and go. TJ's Deli Mart on Lincoln Avenue in McDonald, also in Robinson and Oakdale, owned by the Chem Oil Company. TJ's Deli Mart is an independent convenience store chain, open daily until 11 p.m. TJ's Deli Mart says, go Rangers!
Remember how great the old days felt? Windows rolled down, wind in your hair, date by your side? That feeling. But are you missing that feeling now when the lights go out? Curtis Pharmacy can help with Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra. Up to 80% less, as low as a dollar a pill. Get the rush, save the cash, get to Curtis Pharmacy. All they need is your doctor's name and they do the rest. Curtis Pharmacy, your better way pharmacy.
This is Mark Baer from Bud Baer Mazda. Come in now for the Mazda A Season to Move You event. We have up to $1,250 in bonus conquest cash. That means you get that cash if you own almost any kind of vehicle in your household. And all applicable incentives. So if there's 0%, you get that. If there's $3,000, you get that. Go to BudBearMazda.com and get all the details.
Offer good on 2024 and 2025 Mazda CX-30, CX-50s, and select CX-70s and CX-90s.
Welcome back to our pregame show here on the WJPA Sports Network. 16 teams remain in contention for the WPIL 6 football titles. Two of those championship games will be played tomorrow at Norwin Knight Stadium. The other four will take place a week from tomorrow at Aquashore Stadium. Here's a look at this weekend's 10 semifinal and championship games. In 5A, number 1 Pine Richland takes on number 4 Bethel Park at North Hills Martorelli Stadium. Mac Miller and Jay Timmons each scored 3 touchdowns to lead the Rams to a 42-0 win over Franklin Regional. Javon Moore had 4 touchdowns in the Blackhawks' 49-22 win over Woodland Hills. Number 2 Upper St. Clair and number 3 Peters Township play at Bethel Park. The Panthers capped a 24-3 win over Penn Hills with John Banbury's 36-yard scoop and score. The Indians are in the semis for the 5th time in 7 years, thanks to jumping in front of Penn Trafford early on the way to a 42-13 win. Mickey Vaccarello's 45-yard pick 6 made it 21-0 halfway through the second. Upper St. Clair beat Peters Township 21-7 in a late September Allegheny 6 matchup. In 3A, Imani Christian faces Avonworth in 1 semifinal at West Allegheny's Joe DiMichaela Stadium. The top-seeded Saints rallied with 23 fourth-quarter points to beat Highlands 31-17. The number 5 Antelopes turned the tables on host Beaver, beating the Bobcats 42-12 2 weeks after losing their regular season finale to Beaver 34-14. Number 2 Central Valley and number 3 Elizabeth Forward meet at Montour in the other 3A semi. The CV Warriors make a 5th semis appearance in 6 years, led by Mason Dixon and Jance Henry's 4 combined touchdowns and nearly 300 rushing yards in the 35-7 win over Freeport. The EF Warriors got nearly the same production from one guy, Charlie Nigut, in a wild 45-42 win over North Catholic, a game that was tied at 14 after 1, 28 at the break, and 35 all after 3 quarters. Luke Holdren's 25-yard field goal with just 2 seconds to play set the final. 2A is the only bracket with the top 4 seeds into the semifinals. Number 1 Seton LaSalle and number 4 Steel Valley meet tonight at West Mifflin in an interesting homecoming for Ironmen head coach Ray Brazo, former head coach at West Mifflin. His Steel Valley squad had no trouble advancing as the brothers Barksdale rolled up a combined 345 yards rushing and scored all 5 touchdowns in a 36-13 win over Western Beaver. The Rebels' Khalil Taylor caught a pair of touchdown passes and ran for another score, and Logan King rushed for over 200 yards and a pair of scores in a 34-7 win over Riverside. Number 2 South Park travels to Wexford to face number 3 Elwood City at North Allegheny's Newman Stadium. Eric Doro ran 26 times for nearly 200 yards and a pair of touchdowns in the Eagles' come-from-behind win over Mohawk 19-9. Caitlin Kreitzer's PAT for Elwood City proved to be the difference in the Wolverines' 13-12 win over South Allegheny. Elijah Palmer McCain scored twice for the winners. The 1A semifinals feature defending champion Fort Cherry, the 1 seed, taking on 13th seeded Jeannette at Memorial Stadium in Cannonsburg. The Rangers won for the 26th straight time against WPIO opponents, beating Cornell 27-20 last week. Matt Sieg ran for 180 yards and 3 touchdowns to get by the Raiders. Jeannette, with 10 WPIL titles, is 9-3 overall this year, winners of 5 straight games since losing 3 in a row in midseason. The Jayhawks are averaging 34 points a game over their current winning streak. Second-seeded Clairton is less than 30 minutes away from its 1A semifinal matchup with number 3 Bishop Canavan. The Bears have allowed a total of 21 points all year and haven't scored less than 43 in a game since week 0. Clairton raced in front of California with 36 first-quarter points and rolled the Trojans 54-0. The Crusaders averaged nearly 41 points a game, but managed less than half of that in a 17-13 win last week against Southside Area. Cole Olszewski hit DeMar Olds with a 73-yard TD pass in the third before Jermell Lindsay's 1-yard fourth-quarter run gave Bishop Canavan the win. Saturday, the WPIL championship games in 4A and 6A will be played. 4A scheduled to kick off at 12:05 at Norwin Knight Stadium. Top-seeded Thomas Jefferson takes on number 3 McKeesport. The Jaguars in search of their 10th WPIL title for head coach Bill Chirpak, but they're in the finals for the first time since beating Aliquippa 35-28 in overtime in 2020. To get back to the championship game, TJ had to beat the Quips, this time in the semis. Tyler Eber ran for 211 yards and 3 touchdowns in the 38-21 win over the 3-time defending champions, who hadn't missed going to the title game in 16 straight years. The Tigers, meanwhile, are looking to improve on last year's runner-up finish, a 35-21 loss to Aliquippa. McKeesport started this year 1-4, but has won 7 straight to reach the finals, including a 35-7 win over Mars in the semis. Keemon Spell scored 3 times in the win, part of his 274-yard rushing night against the Mars Planets. The WPIL 4A champion will open state tournament action against the winner of Friday's sub-regional between District 9 champion Clearfield and District 10 titleist General McLean. The WPIL champion will host that PIAA quarterfinal. The 6A championship game features the number 1 Central Catholic Vikings and the number 2 North Allegheny Tigers, the third straight year these two are meeting in the finals, and the fourth time in 5 seasons. Kickoff scheduled for just after 6 o'clock. NA has won 2 of the previous 3 title game battles, but Central Catholic scored a 27-14 win over the Tigers in late September, North Allegheny's only loss this year. The Vikings started the year 0-2, including a loss to 5A top seed Pine Richland. To get here, Central used Elijah Faulkner's 3-touchdown night and added a pair of scoring passes from Jair Walls to beat Seneca Valley 44-14. Faulkner finished with 17 carries and a little over 150 yards rushing. NA handled Mount Lebanon 48-14 to advance. The Tigers got a pair of first-half rushing scores from Luke Rohan, a Brady Brinkley to Dylan Langdon TD pass, and a pair of Peter Natero field goals all in the first half. The Central Catholic North Allegheny winner will host the winner of Friday's sub-regional between District 4 champion Williamsport and District 6 champion State College. Our pregame show will continue in just a minute here on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Hi, sports fans. This is Scott Day from the Day Insurance Agency in Washington and Hickory. This year, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary in business, serving the insurance needs of Washington County residents. Our clients have relied on us to deliver dependable, professional service throughout the years, spanning 3 generations of the Day family. Our clients know us because we live here. We want to say thank you to all who have supported us over the last 50 years. The Day Insurance Agency in Washington and Hickory, proud sponsors of Washington County sports teams.
Imperial Land Corporation is proud to be developing real estate in Washington and Allegheny counties. Over 3,000 acres can accommodate any size development. The nearly 900-acre Fort Cherry Development District along PA 576 is prime commercial real estate minutes from the Pittsburgh Airport and I-79. Visit imperialland.com or call 412-424-0495 for development opportunities. Good luck to the Fort Cherry Rangers from Imperial Land Corporation.
My dream field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My dream field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My dream field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Become one of tomorrow's leaders today at Washington and Jefferson College. Visit WNJ to learn about our scholarships, leadership, and professional readiness opportunities. Talk with professors, coaches, and students. Schedule your campus visit today, in person or online, to explore all we have to offer. WNJ, your future, founded here. Visit washjeff.edu/visit to learn more. That's washjeff.edu/visit.
Welcome back to our pregame show. Fort Cherry has won WPIO football championship. That in a 42-28 thriller over Southside area last year. It was the Rangers' first appearance in a WPIO final since they played in the very first championship game at then Heinz Field back in 2001, a 27-19 loss to Rochester. Fort Cherry's only other appearance in the WPIO finals came 4 years earlier, ended in a 19-14 loss to Riverview. Two schools that were part of the jointure that became Fort Cherry in the late 1950s owned WPIO titles. McDonald was declared Class C champion in 1951 and 52 and also lost WPIL title games in 1949, 53, and 54. And Midway beat Neville Island 45-6 to win the 1956 WPIL Class B championship. The Jayhawks are 10-time WPIL titleists, most recently winning the 2020 title, beating Clareton 45-14. Jeanette's 2017 thriller over Amani Christian, 35-34, snapped a three-game losing skid in the finals. It had been 10 years since a Terrell Pryor Jeanette squad rolled through WPIL competition, including a 61-12 win over Beaver Falls in the 2007 final. Jeanette's first WPIO championship more than 90 years ago when the Jayhawks were named tri-champions with McKeesport and Newcastle. Fort Cherry trailed 12-0 last week, scored the next 27 points, and held off Cornell to win 27-20. We'll take a deeper dive into that and look at the 1A bracket when we come back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Founded in Fort Cherry and now brewing in Burgettstown, the Kramer family invites you to experience Kramer's Greenhouse and their Cole Tipple Brewery and Raccoon Creek Winery, home of Washington County's oldest craft brewery. They've been proud supporters of the area schools, scholars, and student-athletes for four generations. Stop into their dog and kid-friendly tap and tasting room and learn more about their craft beer, handcrafted wine, and locally grown plants and products, or visit kramersgreenhouse.com.
I'm RJ Diaz, your Safe Money Guy. If you're approaching retirement, we need to talk. I offer retirement income planning strategies with lower risk and guaranteed income. Call me, 412-569-4000. And remember, I offer safe money investing with zero fees. Let's get together for a free no obligation review of your retirement plans. I'm RJ Diaz, your Safe Money Guy. 412-569-4000.
This is Coach Guy Monicalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
Welcome back to Canonsburg's Memorial Stadium, and I promise you my broadcast partner Jack Sacco is here in the booth. We'll have him join us here momentarily. For Cherry Trail, 12-0 last week, scored the next 27 points, then held off Cornell to win 27-20. Closest margin of victory this year. But remember, the Rangers trailed Bishop Canavan, entering the final quarter before rallying for a 2-touchdown win. Fort Cherry's won 26 consecutive games against WPIL opponents dating back to the end of their 2022 season, a 30-14 loss to Rochester in the first round. Jeanette lost three straight games this year in mid-season, 35-13 to Leechburg, 43-0 to Clareton, and 44-27 against Greensburg Central Catholic. The Jayhawks come in tonight, though, on a five-game winning streak. Let's take a look at the 1A bracket and how these two teams will start in the top left. Fort Cherry, the one seed, rolled Brentwood 56-14, then the 27-20 win against Cornell last week. For the Jayhawks, meanwhile, coming out of the 13 slot, won 23-7 at Neshannock, and then last week at Norwin in that back-and-forth tussle, beat Greensburg Central Catholic, avenging that earlier loss in the year, 29-23. Do want to note, PIAA transfer rules had three GCC players not eligible to participate in the postseason. This game and a broadcast rights to it are the sole and exclusive property of the WPIL and the NFHS Network. Our broadcast intended exclusively for the benefit of our listening audience and viewing audience. Any use, rebroadcast, or distribution of this game without the express written consent of the WPIL, the NFHS Network, and WJPA Radio is strictly prohibited. The announcers chosen and paid by WJPA, all rights reserved, copyright 2024. Jack, as you look at this matchup tonight, you got two teams with outstanding dual threat quarterbacks. Which one does the best tonight, and who else helps, is going to determine who wins.
Yeah, it's going to be the story of, you know, which number three steps up in this game. Kamoni Brown, Matt Sieg, obviously, you know, they are the offenses for both of these teams. Especially, really, Brown with Jeanette. Between his passing and rushing yardage, he accounts for almost 72% of Jeanette's offensive yardage. That's compared to 55% for Sieg. So, obviously, you know, these offenses run through their quarterback. One thing to note, though, with Brown, 11 interceptions in 12 games. That's a lot. That's a bigger number, but it is a big play passing offense. He averages over 10 yards per pass attempt, completion percentage right around 50%. Whereas Sieg, it's a more controlled, you know, short game timing pass offense where Fort Cherry kind of just tries to find guys open. They utilize that pass game on third down. We saw it last week. The Rangers were able to pick up many, many, and time after time they were able to get the big third down conversions, third and fourth down. And that's really what won the Rangers that game against Cornell last week.
Kamoni Brown with 35 total touchdowns, 15 he scored himself, 20 touchdown passes, but as Jack mentioned, 11 interceptions, almost 1,700 passing yards on the season. For Fort Cherry's Matt Sieg, 23 touchdowns scored, 19 TD passes, has almost 1,500 yards rushing, 1,000-plus yards passing. He needs 87 more yards to cross into the 4,000 career mark, joining only one other player that's ever done that. His name, Terrell Pryor. So 87 passing yards needed for Matt Sieg. And I mentioned those other guys. You know, we know what Brown, we know what Sieg are capable of and how important they are. But I want to look at some scoring numbers for other players. Noah Sunder has 10 touchdowns. Jace Powell has 15. And Nick Mendoza has 4. Nobody else for Jeanette has scored more than twice, and only one player has scored twice.
Yep.
For Fort Cherry, we have the numbers for Sieg, but Ryan Huey has 10 touchdowns. Yanosko has 4 rushing scores. Salvini has 4. Massey has 2 receiving touchdowns. Wolf has 3. Rogers has 3. Cornally has 10. Cook has 3. Cornally also has a punt return touchdown. there's more others contributing, at least on the scoreboard, for Fort Cherry than for Jeanette.
Yeah, that's one of the keys to the game for me, for Jeanette. If they're going to pull off an upset here, it's going to be because of, you know, some of the unsung heroes and some of the supporting cast making plays. You can't put it all on number three, as both of these teams might want to do. I'm sure Fort Cherry, though, will utilize the rest of their cast and crew. But Jeanette is going to need some big plays from some guys who, you know, haven't made the big plays, at least so far.
You know, coaches talk, when you ask about X's and O's, and they talk about the Jimmy. It's more important to Jimmy's and Joe's, yep, than the X's and O's. But tonight might be Bill and Mike,
right,
that have to make it happen, and not necessarily Matt and Kimoni. We'll see how all that works out. Michael Jarosinski is our referee. Paul Simkovich, the umpire. Ralph Lipsy and Sean Gooch working the line of scrimmage. Brandon Ballard and Anthony Barone in the defensive backfield. We're just moments away from kickoff here at Memorial Stadium in Canonsburg. We'll get the ball on the tee and kickoff for Cherry and Jeanette in the WFPIL 1A football semifinals when we come back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation on NFHS.
Tackle a great career as a production associate at Precision Marshall Steel. Score starting wages of $25 to $30 an hour. Earn $35 an hour in just 2 years with rapid progression increases. PM Steel's playbook includes paid training, excellent benefits, 401k, and pension. Don't stand on the sidelines. Precision Marshall Steel. Visit 99 Berry Road or steeljobs.us for more info. Steeljobs.us. Join a winning team.
For 125 years, we've been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial Bank, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you.
Our coverage tonight brought to you in part by the law firm of Gordon and Reese. Continued best wishes to Fort Cherry from Gordon and Reese and the entire Miller family, and longtime friends of the program, both the WJPA radio program and, of course, with Ray Miller and his long service to the Fort Cherry program as well. Jack, the captains are meeting. This is a ceremonial reenactment here, but tell us what happened earlier on the coin flip.
From what I understood, Fort Cherry won the toss, and it looks like they're going to take the football.
You know, at higher levels, college ball and in the pros, you win the toss, you often see teams deferring.
Yep.
Yet in high school, they want the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of, you know, taking the ball in the second half so you could try to double up. But, I mean, it really depends on what team you have. You oftentimes you'll see teams with, you know, high-powered offenses want to get the ball and just take it right away and get going.
The other thing is, just from my mind, you have an opportunity to have an extra possession if you take the ball first.
That's true.
As long as you take care of it,
yep,
the other team can't have it more than you.
Yes.
You could end up with an extra possession. But I am becoming more and more in the minority. Mm-hmm. Great to have you along tonight on WJPA AM in Washington, Pennsylvania's radio sports leader for more than 80 years. Also online at WJPA.com, the WJPA Sports Network, on the NFHS Network, and our thanks to our friends and colleagues from the TRIB HSSN, the High School Sports Network. Set to kick off. Jeanette Jayhawks with the ball up on the tee. Hunter Schaefer with it teed up. I don't think the Rangers expect this to get deep, and it will get back to that deep ball. Picked up at the 22-yard line. Returned up over the 30, 35, and out across the 40-yard line. A nice, nice return for Ryan Huey.
Set there by number five, Marcus McGowan.
Huey from the 22, going to be spotted down. Where are they going to put this? Right on the 40, so 18 yards on the kick return. Cherry. Joey Close and Dalton Anderson at the tackles. Brody Craw and Nate Heinrich at the guards. And A.J. Woodkovich at the center. Quarterback is Matt Sieg. You'll have Ryan Huey, Eli Salvini, Shane Cornelli, Braden Cook, Evan Rogers, and Nate Wolf, the wideouts. First and 10 from the 40. Sieg trying to take it wide, finds a little seam to cut up. Now Olay's a man, 45, 50, and out of bounds on the Ranger bench. There is a flag on the play. I'm trying to find it. It is at the line of scrimmage. The Rangers guilty of an alignment. Yep. Illegal procedure penalty. We're going to have illegal procedure was the indication that sometimes gets called false start, but it was not a false start. The play was allowed to continue, so they may not have had seven men on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that was going to be a really nice start to the drive for Fort Cherry as well. Well-blocked play. Sieg got outside and finally worked it upfield and was able to force a couple missed tackles, but gets wiped off.
Empty backfield except for Sieg. He'll sling it this way and going down to make the catch. That's a ball you want to let hit the ground. Shane Cornelli loses yards on a completed pass. We talked to Tanner Gary a week ago, and one of the situations that he talked about was that they just hadn't been really buttoned up very well. Had trouble in the first quarter a week ago against Cornell, gave up the two early touchdowns, didn't get a first down in the first 12 minutes. Tonight they come out lined up illegally and then complete a pass for a loss of three. Sieg's pass, man open at the seam, 40, 45, and running away. It's Cornelli inside the 40 when he's finally dragged down.
Yep, there's Shane Cornelli. He finds a soft spot right there in his zone. And he was just able to get some yards after the catch, a missed tackle in the middle of the field. And Cornelli, he's a big play receiver, man. He makes big plays time and again. Shows up. He could not make a play the entire game and then, boom, make a game-changing defensive or offensive play. He's a big player.
31 yards there. Gavin Grace runs into the game from the near sideline. First and 10 at the Jeanette 37. Four receivers bunched to the right. Sieg's going to run it right up the middle. Knocked down after a gain of about three on the play. Took that straight ahead. And is there another flag down?
Yep.
There by number 64, Jones.
Personal foul, face mask against Jeanette. Sieg run good for three. Tack on the personal foul penalty. Add the first down. Should put the ball at about the 19-yard line. So both teams guilty of fouls here early on. First and 10 at the Jeanette 19-yard line. Sieg with a sidecar. Hands the ball off. It's Huey running left with room. 15 and down at about the 12.
Sweep handoff right there to Huey. We didn't see Huey get a ton of action last week carrying the football. Right there, though, he comes out, makes a big play on the opening drive.
18 yards on the kickoff, and now 8 yards on this run to the 11-yard line. Second down and two inside the Jeanette 15. Sieg on the keepers. Got the first down. Jumps over a man at the 5 and scores.
Too easy for Matt Sieg in this offense right there on the first drive. Opening play penalty, and the next play followed up with a negative play, and then after that just a couple big plays, and Sieg able to punch it in.
Extra point attempt for Nick Massey is hit 47 of 51 this year. Snap a little high. Cornelli gets it down. Massey puts the foot to it, and it's good. Fort Cherry, 7. Jeanette, nothing. 9:35 to play first quarter. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
After being sidelined with a shoulder injury, 2 minutes in the box isn't so bad.
Now get back out there. With AHN Sports Medicine, you're ready for what's next. Your body's rehabbed and recovered. Your legs primed to outski your defender. Your technical skills perfected. And just like that, you're back. Oh yeah, you're back. Go next level with AHN Sports Medicine. That's the power of
Bowser. You're always on the winning team with the Power of Bowser, the official car dealer of the WPIAL. Visit powerofbowser.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find your perfect vehicle. Get the absolute best price and the best car buying experience around. See the full lineup at powerofbowser.com. powerofbowser.com, where the power of Bowser is yours.
Rangers go 60 yards officially. They actually covered 68 yards when it was all said and done, but you get credit for the 60-yard drive because that's where it all started. Took five plays, Matt Sieg, final 11 yards, his 24th rushing touchdown of the year. Rangers will kick this ball deep, and it will hit on the ground, be knocked down, and then picked up. It's Jace Powell, hit at the 15, got off of that, crosses the 20, and trying to get out of that, will not be able to do that. 9:25 to play here in our opening quarter. Nick Stutchel and Carmine Dionutis at the tackles, Lonnie Green and Zay Jones at the guards, Wyatt Schaefer the center, Kimoni Brown at quarterback. We'll see Nick Mandoja and Magi Sanders in the backfield. Jace Powell, Noah Sunder, and Xavier Odoricio Ferro at the wideout spots. First and 10 for the Jayhawks. Their first possession begins at the 23-yard line. Shotgun formation. Hand the ball off, trying to run left side. Got off first contact. Going to get a gain out of it. It's Nick Mandoja. Gets a yard.
Last week, one of the stories for Fort Cherry early in the game was they weren't tackling very well. Right there, though, safe, secure tackle. It's going to be key for the Rangers in this one to make those tackles.
Question about Eli Salvini, and we'll try to see if Salvini's in that linebacker core tonight to start for the Rangers. High snap. Brown pulls it down, abandons the call play, runs it himself, and he won't get back to the line of scrimmage. And Salvini is definitely in there. He just made the tackle.
Yep. Yeah, the bad snap really took that play completely away from Jeanette. It looked like it was setting up to be a little swing pass, but Brown just completely bagged it after the high snap.
So now third down and 10 for the Jayhawks, 8:20 to play first quarter. Fort Cherry with the 7-0 lead. From the 23-yard line, Brown calls for the shotgun, rolls to his right, wants to throw, pass is caught out to about the 33. This is close to the first down, and it looks like it's going to be just enough.
Yeah, Powell, he accounts for over half of the receiving yardage on this Jeanette team. Right there, he makes the big play on third down. Well-delivered ball as well from Kimoni Brown.
10-yard pickup to his leading receiver, Jace Powell, the 5'8 sophomore. Catch number 51 this year. First and 10 now from the 33-yard line, the Jayhawks. Motion to trips right, single running back. Brown again handles a high snap, dumps it off. Middle screen is broken up. The ball never got completely put away by Mendoza, who released. And just as he bobbled it the first time, he got hit in the chest and the ball came flying out.
Yeah, right there, it was Nate Hirant. He seems to always be in on those plays near the line of scrimmage. And right there, Hirant, I don't know if he really saw the screen coming or if Jeanette really just kind of threw it at him and he was quick to react. Either way, he's the one to make the play and force the incompletion.
Pine Richland leads Bethel Park 7-0 early. Here it's Fort Cherry 7, Jeanette nothing. Second and 10 for the Jayhawks. Now they align trips left and the Rangers jump into the neutral zone. And three different players went.
Fish
officials communicate via the headset. Offside Fort Cherry. Take the ball out to the 38. Fort Cherry's second penalty of the first quarter. Both of the 5-yard variety, but now second and 5 for the Jayhawks. Single back set. Brown takes the shotgun snap, has time. People running all over the place and got some blocks. He's to the near side, makes a move inside the 50 and steps out of bounds on the Fort Cherry sideline at the Rangers 46.
That was great protection right there up front for Jeanette. Nice block from that was Lonnie Green that really sprung the big play, and good recognition by Brown to just tuck that one and take the yardage he could get on the ground.
It's a 16-yard run to the Fort Cherry 46. First and 10 for the Jayhawks, trying to answer. 7:19 remaining in our opening quarter. Trips left, single receiver to the near side. Brown bobbles the snap, the ball's on the ground. And the Rangers have it. Brown has had trouble with 3 snaps now, and this one he doesn't pull in, and Fort Cherry with the recovery.
Another high one. They've all been high coming out of Wyatt Schaefer, the center. And just Brown, I get that it's a bad snap, and you can't put all the blame on Brown there. You have to make sure that you catch the ball before you try to do anything with it.
7:12 to play first quarter. We'll keep it here. Fort Cherry set up in the midfield at their own 47-yard line. Empty backfield. 4 receivers wide each way, or 2 wide each way. Pass down the seam looking for Cornelli. Lays out and going to be ruled incomplete. Did not get the hands under it. Diving at the 25-yard line, a 28-yard pass. Sieg rolls right and just flicks the ball downfield, and Cornelli just can't quite get under it.
Yeah, great effort. Really a well-thrown ball. There was good coverage, though, by Jace Powell in the middle of the field, but Sieg threw a really well-located pass. Just a touch, though, too far for Cornelli to not be able to make that grab.
Second and 10, tight end to the near side. Sieg will run this way. He's to midfield, bounces away from a would-be tackler around his ankles, and carries it inside the 40-yard line, steps out of bounds with a first down. 14 yards on the Sieg run to the Jeanette 39-yard line. 4 first downs for the Rangers. Sieg on that play doubled his rushing yardage. He's up to 28 on 3 first half carries. Now we'll roll right. Tuck it, cut it back to the left, and lunges forward to about the 36. Going to get 3 on this run. Job by the Jayhawks. They saw what was coming that way. Yeah, shut it down.
That was really, really well done up front for Jeanette with the gap integrity. Not getting out of your gaps as a D lineman and forces Sieg to have to cut that one up or bounce it right back up the middle.
Sieg over 1,500 rushing yards now on the season. Second down and 7 at the 36. Man comes flying in motion. They give it on the end around. It's Huey, who's a running back, lined up as a wide receiver, and he's going to get it to about the 30-yard line, maybe the 29. Looks like a problem with the chains. They want to work this over. Yeah, it's not a first down, I don't believe. Well, it depends.
They put it right at the 29.
If they put it right at the 29, yep. They are going to give the first down. So 7 yards for Huey. I really think the Rangers were further, the ball was further over the 39 than it is over the 29 stripe right now. I don't think they actually got 10 yards. But officials move the sticks. A couple of good carries for Ryan Huey. 6:16 to play, first quarter. Now, Sieg in trouble, and he's going to end up losing yardage here. 3 different players got through block attempts.
I think that was by design. It looked like a little screen out right to Huey was setting up, but it was completely poor in spacing and really nowhere to go for Sieg with the ball, just immediate pressure by Jeanette.
loss of a couple, second down and 12. 2A number one Seton LaSalle up on Steel Valley, 7-0. Elwood City, the 3 seed in that bracket, leads South Park, 7-0. Huey goes in motion, Seek fakes it to him, little shovel pass ahead, in traffic, it's caught, and forward for about 5, maybe 6 yards, on a grab by Cornally in traffic.
Noah Thunder.
Ball to the 26, so Cornally's catch good for 5.
It's a lot of traffic for that little shovel pass play, but fortunately Cornally able to make the grab and was able to pick up some yards after the catch.
We've played 7 minutes, and Shane Cornally has 3 catches tonight already. All 3 of Sieg's completions. 7 men at the line of scrimmage. Cornally behind everybody, and the pass floats too far over his left shoulder and incomplete inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that was a touchdown right there. If Sieg was able to hit Cornally wide open, uncovered, got past the corner. Just a big misplay. We saw that a lot last week as well, those big missed passing plays for Fort Cherry.
Fourth down and 7 at the 36-yard line. Drop and roll right. Sieg throws to the right, underthrown and incomplete, and the ball will go over on downs. 4:46 to play first quarter. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a minute.
You can shop for pretty much anything online. Clothes, food, vacations, you name it. All without ever leaving the comfort of your couch. Finally, banking can be just that easy too. With the all-new FMB eStore, you can shop for hundreds of financial products to manage your money. All from the comfort of your couch. From clicks to bricks, we've got you covered. Experience the FMB eStore in branch, on your phone, or online at fmb-online.com.
Jeanette first and 10 at its own 26-yard line, trailing 7-0. Brown handles a high snap, hands this one off, and a little room opens up. It's Nick Mendoza forward out to about the 34-yard line, run of about 8. Right when that play started, there did not appear to be that kind of room, but Mendoza weaving his way through, gets it opened up. Second down and about 2. The Jayhawks send 2 receivers wide to the right, 1 to the far side, blocking back behind the right tackle. Second and 2, play fake. Brown sets and throws the ball deep down the near sideline. And a catch is made, the tackle made almost immediately, but Jace Powell, where they had the Rangers corner on an island there because there were 2 receivers, and he chose the inside one. Powell makes the catch on the outside throw and a first down.
I'll tell you what, that is a tremendous throw from Brown. Fitted in along the sideline. Great arm strength right there. Just step into it, get up, get your power up on your front foot, and just unleash it. A great throw.
50-yard pass play to the 16 of Fort Cherry. Here come the Jayhawks. Running play. Wide stiff arm to get across the line of scrimmage. And Mendoza then forced to the boundary after a short gain.
Yanosko on the stop.
So you look back to the pass play to Cornally that wasn't made.
Yep.
Carry to the 13. Mendoza's run good for 3. Second down and 7 at the Fort Cherry 13. Jeanette looking to tie this one up. Just over 3.5 minutes remain in our first half. Twins each way. Now motion to trips right. Second and 7. It's going to be a run. Brown made a man miss. Ran out of a tackle. Got inside the 10. And Kimoni Brown is going to be spotted down at about the 8-yard line. Run of 5.
A strong run up front, well blocked play. Good job by Tyler Wolf getting in there to put the brakes on Brown.
Third down and 2 at the Fort Cherry 6 as we click under 3 minutes to play in the half. Jayhawks break the huddle with 12 on the play clock. And they go two each way, plus a single back. The back is Mendoza. Now send Powell in motion to the far side. Handoff, it's Mendoza inside the five, and finally pulled down at about the 3 yard line. It's first and goal. 5 yard run for Mendoza.
Smash it right up the middle right there. That's some confidence, you know, 2 yards against this Fort Cherry defense. You're going to have to earn it right there. Mendoza able to find a gap and get it close to the goal line.
First and goal at the Fort Cherry 3. Magi Sanders in a blocking role to the right. Brown keeps it, trying to go that way, and Brown got airborne when he landed on a Fort Cherry player and then rolled over to get the ball to the 2, gain of a yard.
Yeah, that one was well sewn up pretty much the whole way. It looked like Brown wanted to try to get up the middle. Immediately had to abort that plan. Got outside. It looked like there was maybe some daylight. Great job by Fort Cherry getting over.
1:45 to go in the opening quarter. Play gets to the huddle with about 20 on the play clock. A lot of time here for the Jayhawks. Second and goal at the Fort Cherry 2. Fort Cherry with the 7-0 lead. Brown brings everybody set. Takes the snap, drops and rolls left. Stop and go, cut back, and he'll get back only to the line of scrimmage if he got that far. And they're going to spot him down a loss of a yard back at the 3.
Yeah, right there. Once again, this Ranger defense is just not letting Brown get outside.
Third down and goal.
Third down and goal at the Fort Cherry 3-yard line. Powell brings the play to the huddle. And the Jayhawks come to the line of scrimmage. Odoricio Ferro tops the formation wide to the Jayhawks sideline. Brown with two running backs to his right. And the play comes to the right. Both those guys trying to throw blocks. Brown to the 5. Trying to jump past a man. He got a hold of him around the waist. And Brown tackled at the 1.
Yeah, I think right there, Brown needs to just put his shoulder down and try to power his way into the end zone. Tried to make a move near the goal line, and there are 3 red jerseys right in there.
And the final seconds of the first quarter disappear. WPIL 1A semifinal. Now they stop the clock. Why did they stop the clock with 3 seconds? Okay, everybody's coming up the field. We're at the end of the first quarter. Fort Cherry 7, Jeanette nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation on NFHS.
At Penn West University, we're making college make sense again for people who maybe thought college wasn't the answer. We're making college practical with programs tied to in-demand jobs that prepare you for success right away. We're making college accessible by breaking down barriers and offering more choices. We're making college approachable with faculty who understand where you're coming from and help you get where you're going. At Penn West, we're making college valuable again for people just like you. Learn more at pennwest.edu.
Chem Oil in Oakdale congratulates the Fort Cherry Rangers for a second straight undefeated regular season and for another great postseason run. Best wishes to the players, coaches and families and fans on this exciting journey through the playoffs. From the entire Chem Oil family in Oakdale to everyone in the Fort Cherry family, have an enjoyable Thanksgiving celebration, a safe and happy holiday season, and a wonderful new year.
This presentation of the NFHS Network is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
Opening quarter total offense for Cherry, leading the rushing numbers with 44, 38 for Jeanette. Jayhawks with 60 yards passing, 50 of that on a completion to Powell that set them up in deep. For Cherry with 33 yards passing. Jeanette 98 total, Fort Cherry 77 total. Fort Cherry leading the most important marker That is the scoreboard. And Jeanette with fourth and goal at the Fort Cherry one as we start the second quarter. Everybody in tight. Double tight, double flankers, one each way. Two backs to block for Kamoni Brown. He's hit at the five and taken down. The play blown up by the Rangers. Brody Craw getting in there and dropping Brown for a loss, and the ball goes over on down.
Yeah, that was all Brody Craw, just an immediate block shed. There really was no chance for Brown. You got to have to give him a little bit more time than that to even give him a chance. Huge play in this game to get the stop at the one.
Fort Cherry will take over at the 7-yard line, first and 10. Rangers defense protects its 7-point lead. Ball's on the ground and scrambling out to cover it is Matt Sieg. He's going to gain a yard out of it, but he was crawling, scrambling, whatever he could do to get to that loose ball. 1-yard pickup, second down and 9. Rangers just a hair off. And Tanner Gehry told us it's been that way for a couple of weeks. Second down and 9. Running play as Matt Huey gets across the 10 to about the 11. Gain of about 3, so third down and long. Upper St. Clair, Peters Township, scoreless after 1. Third down, let's call it 6 from the 11. Eligibles all looking to the near sideline for hand signals. Rangers have blocking back. Huey the running back, Sieg to pass it. Ball near side, it's caught by Cook and then dropped and going to be ruled incomplete. Cook would not have had a first down if he holds the ball unless he gets off that tackle. But another pass play for the Rangers not made.
Yeah, that was Brown who came in and made the play defensively this time, breaking that up. That's one that Cook needs to hang on to. I don't know if he would have been able to get the first even if he makes the grab, but we saw it last week. The pass game for Fort Cherry just not on the same page.
Sieg on the rollout rugby punt. Ball comes up the near sideline and does not get out to the 45-yard line. So great field position when we come back. Fort Cherry 7, Jeanette nothing, 10:28 to play in the first, back on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Community College of Beaver County is now in Washington County. We are here with the support you need and the value you want at the Washington County College Center. Explore our in-demand career paths in aviation, education, and criminal justice, or start college early with dual enrollment courses and high school academies. At the Washington County College Center, your pathway to success starts right at home. Learn more at ccbcwashington.com.
Sieg's punt, good for only 29 yards. Jeanette takes over at the 40. Brown rolls to the right, throws the ball, throws it onto the sideline, incomplete.
Looked like he threw that one right at Josh Silvera for Fort Cherry. Whipped one. I think it was a throwaway, but either way, you don't want to throw it towards an opponent.
South Park 7, Elwood City 7. That game square now. Elizabeth Forward scores first against Central Valley, leading their EF up 7-0. That's the 3A 2-3 matchup in the semis. 10:20 to play in the first half. Fort Cherry with a 7-0 lead. Two wide receivers each way for the Jayhawks. Brown on a quarterback draw, got hit shy of the line of scrimmage and cleaned up right there. They're going to give Brown a loss of 1, not 2, but it's going to bring up 3rd and 11.
Yeah, I think if you're Jeanette, might want to start focusing on maybe bringing the pass game more often. Got that big play. Maybe try to get Powell involved here.
Leading receiver goes wide to the far side. Two receivers each way for Jeanette. Third down and 11 at the 41. Brown drops, sets, and throws the deep ball. Has a man open. The ball on target and dropped. Flat out dropped right through the hands of Noah Sunder.
Yeah, there was, that play wouldn't have stood anyway, but that will hurt at least in that if Sunder makes that grab, you at least force them to accept the penalty and you get another down.
It was a procedure penalty against Jeanette. And now both teams have misfired on short touchdown passes. One was dropped by the receiver for Jeanette. One was not thrown all that well by the quarterback for Cherry. So now fourth down and 11. Low snap, fielded on a knee, and it's going to be down right there. Kamoni Brown went to his knee to field the low snap. When he can possess the ball, the knee's still on the ground, and that's a team loss back to about the 50-yard line.
Yeah, and really snapping has cost Jeanette so far. I mean, opening drive turnover on the poor snap that Brown wasn't able to hold on to, and right there, the poor snap that forces Brown onto the ground.
Actually put that ball at the 49-yard line, which Brown never was at the 49, but we'll go from there. First and 10, Matt Sieg running left, ran out of a tackle, cross midfield, the 45 and down the sideline, forced to the boundary at the 43. He'll pick up 7 yards. Make it 8. Second down and 2. And Matt Sieg right there at the point of attack ran out of a tackle, and that turned into an 8-yard pickup. Now it'll be Huey running up over the left guard. He'll get to the 40 and a half, and that's going to be good enough for a first down.
Yeah, good strong carry right up the middle for Huey. No hesitation.
First down, Port Cherry.
2 yards for Huey. And go back to the comment that you made on Brown's run where he was tackled at the 1. Just put the shoulder down and pound it.
Yep.
And that's what Huey did. Gets the 2 yards that he needs. Man goes in motion. Sieg throws it back the other way. In traffic, ball is caught. It's going to be Cook. And Cook down inside the 30 with a first down.
Yeah, that one a little bit behind Cook, but well enough thrown. In coverage, there was Eli Jones for Jeanette. Good grab by Cook, though.
7 first downs for Fort Cherry. Put the ball at the 28. 13-yard pickup. Sieg avoids a man in the backfield. Bounces to the sideline and gets his legs cut out from under him at about the 20. 8-yard run for Sieg. Rangers do not huddle. They do stand at the line of scrimmage, though. Difference between no huddle and hurry up, though. Fort Cherry ready to snap the ball at about 15 seconds on the play clock. Second down and 2. Pass for the end zone. Cornally, that ball thrown inside where the defender had better position, and Cornally actually broke it up. Kamoni Brown there on the play, and you'll get a chance there to see. Brown had the best shot at it. Cornally just pulled it out of his hands.
I do like the aggressiveness on second and short. That's always a money down for, you know, taking a shot at the end zone. But a little bit dangerous of a pass from Sieg to put that one inside. You want to put that either to your receiver or out of bounds. You cannot have one that can get picked off.
Third and 2 at the Jeanette 20. Fake the handoff to Cook. Sieg keeps it himself, trying to get a downfield block. Bounces outside the 10, the 5, and into the end zone for the second time tonight. And there is going to be a flag.
It's going to be holding.
Evan Rogers got a hold there possibly to get Sieg around the bend. Holding against Fort Cherry. And it looks to be at about the 13-yard line. So Sieg will get credit for 7 yards. But from that spot, it'll back up 10 to the 23. It's third and about 5.
Third down and 5.
Third Fort Cherry penalty of the first half. 7:34 to play before intermission. Fort Cherry with a 7-0 lead. Rangers scored on their opening possession. Nobody has found the end zone since. Third and 5, and now
it's going to be a delay.
Delay of game. So back-to-back penalties on the Fort. And now third and 10. Now sitting there at third and 2. And thinking, of course, the Rangers are in four-down territory. But now going the wrong direction. Third down and 10. Sieg fakes the run. Slant inside. Complete to Cornally. Inside the 15. That's a first down.
There's old reliable. Shane Cornally gets open. Well-delivered ball. And Cornally knew he just had to hang on to the ball. Didn't try to get upfield too quickly. It wasn't poor coverage from Brown, just a good route by Cornally, and he's a dependable receiver.
26 on this completion. 4 grabs for 59 yards. First and 10 at the 12. Sieg around the right end. He's to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone. Into the end zone for the third time. The second one's going to count. 12-yard. Matt Sieg, touchdown run.
Yeah, when this Ranger team gets in the red zone, it just feels automatic. Sieg in that short space is just, he's too much to handle. He can take it up inside. He can get outside. His speed's just, it's a lot for these defenses.
PAT attempt for Nick Massey. Again, a little problem with the snap, but Cornally handles the skittering snap here. Tees it up, and Massey boots it home. Fort Cherry 14, Jeanette nothing. 6:58 to play second quarter. Back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Remember how great the old days felt? Windows rolled down, wind in your hair, date by your side. That feeling. But are you missing that feeling now when the lights go out? Curtis Pharmacy can help with Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra. Up to 80% less, as low as a dollar a pill. Get the rush. Save the cash. Get to Curtis Pharmacy. All they need is your doctor's name and they do the rest. Curtis Pharmacy, your better way pharmacy.
This is Mark Baer from Bud Baer Mazda. Come in now for the Mazda A Season to Move You event. We have up to $1,250 in bonus conquest cash. That means you get that cash if you own almost any kind of vehicle in your household. And all applicable incentives. So if there's 0%, you get that. If there's $3,000, you get that. Go to budbearmazda.com and get all the details.
Offer good on 2024 and 2025 Mazda CX-30, CX-50s, and select CX-70s and CX-90s.
Rangers go 51 yards in 7 plays. Matt Sieg's second touchdown of the night and 25th rushing touchdown of the year, a 12-yard scamper. And Massey's extra point has the Rangers up 14-0. Nick Massey with the ball teed up, set to kick it off. And Jace Powell back deep to receive. Massey kicks this one down the hash marks. It bounds past Powell and will find its way to the end zone.
Touchback.
Jeanette will have the ball at the 20-yard line when we come right back.
Hi, I'm Scott Day from the Day Insurance Agency here in Washington. When was the last time you reviewed your homeowner's policy? In recent years, the price of homeowner's insurance has gone up dramatically. In fact, some companies have raised their rates by as much as 35% in the last year. If you haven't reviewed your coverage lately, now is the time. You might be surprised at how much you can save. Call us at 724-228-3448, visit us online at dayinsurance.com, or stop by one of our offices in Washington or Hickory.
First and 10, Jeanette, from its own 20-yard line. Brown stands in the pocket, now flushed out, got away from the pressure, rolls to the right, and now throws the ball well downfield. trying to come back and get to the ball. Plenty of contact going on over there, but play on is the call. Sean Robertson in coverage of that deep receiver.
Yeah, Brown has a heck of an arm for a high schooler. He's been showing it off so far. Unleashes a good throw there. A little bit surprised. You know, you have the coverage, and the defender never got his head turned around. You often see that one get called if there's any bit of contact. Then right there, though, no call.
Quickly, a couple of scores. South Park 14, Elwood City 7. Central Valley 14, Elizabeth Forward 7. Pine Richland 14, Bethel Park nothing. Second down and 10, Jayhawks at their own 20. Brown in the shotgun with a single running back. Pass to that right side. Ball is caught behind the line. Carry up over the 20, 25, and out to about the 27. We've got about 7 yards on that completion that way. It is Powell once again. Well, they give Powell credit. Clear out to the 28. Third catch of the night for Jace Powell, 5'8 sophomore. And Brown, 3 of 7 passing for those 68 yards, all to Powell. Third down and 2. Brown pulls it down, wants to run, hit. Muscled forward, is going to get the 30-yard line, and that's a first down.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be close, but that last move is what got Brown there. Like to see that spot right on the line.
Jeanette first down at the 30. Brown held to 16 yards on 10 carries here in the opening half. Fort Cherry leading 14-0. Jeanette will get the ball to start the second half as well. So score here and then open with the score, and all of a sudden Jeanette can tie it. Brown on a quarterback draw, does not get back to the line of scrimmage. Got off the first contact, hit there by Brody Craw, got out of that, but could not run wide fast enough.
This Fort Cherry run defense is just strong, very consistent. It's going to be hard to run against them. If I were Jeanette, I would, obviously you just can't drop back and pass every play, but try to focus on getting that ball to Powell out on the perimeter.
Clareton 16, Bishop Canavan nothing. That's at the end of one. Winner there and our winner meet at 11 a.m. at Acrisure Stadium next Saturday morning. Just under 5 minutes to play in the first half. Second and 13 for the Jayhawks. Brown, three-step drop on the shotgun. Pass to the right side is caught out to about the 37. You're going to spot him now back to the 36 to be accurate there. Odoricio Ferro on the reception and ruled that he came back to that. So 9 yards on the pickup. He's a third down and about 4.
Yeah, good delivery right there from Brown. A nice toss to get that to Odoricio Ferro and able to just come down with it on the comebacker.
Third down and about 4, running play. Mendoza stood up and doesn't get off of that. Hit low by Huey, hit high by Tyler Wolf.
Yeah, I don't love the play call right there. You've been able to do some stuff with this passing game. You go to the run game there, try to pick up 4. Does not work out.
Jeanette has minus 8 yards rushing in the second quarter. Steel Valley adds another, or excuse me, Seton LaSalle adds another touchdown against Steel Valley. The Rebels, the one seed in the 2A bracket, leading Steel Valley 20-0. Punt formation, a little better snap, contact. Flag down in the backfield. Rangers nearly got to that punt, Colton Temple, but he bumped into the kicker and...
Fort Cherry faithful are not happy about that. Saying he tried to get out of the way. It doesn't really matter, though, as long as you hit that punter.
Well, regardless of whether this is 5 or 15, it's a first down because it was 4th and 4.
I believe that should just be running into the kicker, but, yeah, that's what it's going to be.
But it will be distance enough. Five penalties on Fort Cherry here in the first half. And the Jayhawks get a new set of downs from their own 41-yard line. Trips to the right side. Running play. Mendoza got back to the line and is held down around the ankles by Huey and stopped there at the line of scrimmage.
I mean, just some quick wins. As you set Huey in there, Josh Silvera gets in immediately. It's just constant pressure in the into the backfield for this Fort Cherry run defense.
Second down and 10 at the 41. Play clock down to 5. Brown gets the snap. Looking deep once again. Receivers open. It's Powell. Makes the grab and gone. Touchdown.
Brown has all day in the pocket right there. Takes his time. Keeps his eyes downfield. Steps into another throw. And that kid has shown that he can sling it. Big play.
59-yard touchdown pass. The 21st thrown this year by Kimoni Brown. Five completions in 9 attempts, but a 136. Jace Powell scores his 16th touchdown of the year. He has over 100 receiving yards. Extra point attempt. And that kick, not really good looking, but
flag down.
And there is a flag down. But still no indication of what the penalty is. Substitution infraction against Fort Cherry. So the kick declined the penalty. The kick is good. 2:09 to play. First half. Fort Cherry 14. Jeanette 7 kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
Imperial Land Corporation is proud to be developing real estate in Washington and Allegheny counties. Over 3,000 acres can accommodate any size development. The nearly 900-acre Fort Cherry Development District along PA 576 is prime commercial real estate minutes from the Pittsburgh Airport and I-79. Visit imperialland.com or call 412-424-0495 for development opportunities. Good luck to the Fort Cherry Rangers from Imperial Land Corporation.
This presentation of the NFHS Network is brought to you by American Dairy Association Northeast. Your milk comes from a good place.
2:09 to play second quarter, and Jeanette gets the touchdown here late. Now the kickoff hits one of the front line guys. The Jayhawks looking for a ricochet, but good job there by Sean Robertson to handle that kick. And now Fort Cherry with 2:09 to play is going to get the ball at its own 48-yard line.
Yeah, favorable field position. We saw Fort Cherry in this in favorable field position a lot last week. We've seen it already now a couple times in this one.
You know, the Rangers, the explanation there, the kick was good by Hunter Schaefer for the PAT, and the Rangers guilty of a substitution infraction. Empty backfield, five wide receivers, first and 10 from the 48. Pressure coming, roll. Sig dumps the ball off, complete near side. It's Gavin Grace. Boy, going to rule that as a tackle inbounds. We're going to see the way the end of this play happen. Boy, Grace hit butt down inside. Congratulations and my apologies. Ball at the 43-yard line. Should not be a first down. It's second down. The stick started to move, but it should not be. Keeper right up the middle. Sieg inside the 20. The 15 made a man miss and touchdown. That's what Matt Sieg brings.
Just like that, bam, touchdown. Sieg, the C's part a little bit up the middle. And when he gets to that second level, he's unstoppable. Makes a couple guys miss, jukes a man, gets them all turned around. That's just Matt Sieg being Matt Sieg.
And the open cuts out, you know, making people miss to take that 43 yards for the touchdown and an answer in less than a minute for the Rangers to go back up by two scores. Cornally tees it up. Massey kicks it home. Porcheri 21, Jeanette 7. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
My Dream Field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Become one of tomorrow's leaders today at Washington and Jefferson College. Visit WNJ to learn about our scholarships, leadership, and professional readiness opportunities. Talk with professors, coaches, and students. Schedule your campus visit today, in person or online, to explore all we have to offer. WNJ, your future, founded here. Visit washjeff.edu/visit to learn more. That's washjeff.edu/visit.
Late second quarter, Upper St. Clair 3, Peters Township nothing. Here it is, Porcheri 21, Jeanette 7. Rangers set to kick off with 93 seconds to play in our first half. Nick Massey raises his hand, the run up and the kick. Two men back deep. The ball hits the ground at the 21. Return up over the 30, 35. Stop shy of the 40-yard line. It's Jace Powell once again. Jace Powell has 127 receiving yards tonight. All but nine of Kimoni Brown's 136 total passing yards. 36 seconds it took the Rangers to answer the Jeanette touchdown. Matt Sieg with three TD runs here in the first half, now 26 on the year. First and 10 Jayhawks from their own 38. Brown slides to his right, pulls down, trying to set up some blocking, rolls upfield, jump cut and taken down by Ryan Huey. No gain on the play, down at the 38.
No gain on the play.
Man, apparently going to get a timeout, and with that, we'll step aside as well. Did not see who they charged the timeout to, but we'll deal with that when we come back. Oh, no. The clock continues to run.
Yeah, I think the press box just got this one messed up.
Well, the clock is still running. And nobody seems to notice.
We had it on our clock at 1:12.
Yeah, that's what I had, 1:12.
Yeah, that's what they're setting it to, yeah.
All right, well, we'll keep it here now, but you say Porcheri timeout. Is that what we... Yep, Rangers have used their first timeout, so we'll end up not getting a break here. These things should not happen in WPIL semifinals. Peters Township scores... on a 97-yard kickoff return after the Upper St. Clair field goal. Just seconds left in the first half. Peters Township 7, Upper St. Clair 3. Second down and 10 for the Jayhawks from their own 38-yard line. Kimoni Brown, 13 yards on 12 carries tonight. But has done damage with his arm. Dumped the ball off. Pass is complete up over the 40 to the 41-yard line. Powell on a little short reception, but steps out of bounds. Gets three.
Little flip pass. Great pursuit, though, from Cornally and Tyler Wolf, both putting the pressure on Powell to run out of bounds.
Five catches for 130 for Powell. Bill Chapo scouring the... World Wide Web with all kind of statewide scores. You'll be happy to know that Central York leads Wilson Westlawn 14-7. Worry about Wilson Westlawn in about 2 weeks. Third down and 7. Brown rolls to his right, keeps the play alive, wants to throw, resets, fires the ball well short of the intended target, coming back to the ball on the far side, and it will bring up fourth down.
Yeah, quick win up front by Archie Shattuck. Good pickup in protection from the back, Mendoza, but that pressure was able to flush out Brown, and he skips the pass, trying to fit it in to Powell.
1 minute remaining in the first half. Fort Cherry up 21-7. The Rangers are likely to get the ball back, and they have two timeouts at their disposal. Kick is just away. Pressure was coming. The ball bounds inside the 35. Rangers will take over at their own 29-yard line. The clock stopped with 50 seconds remaining. And Fort Cherry 71 yards away from where they want to get. Pressure on Kimoni Brown punting, and earlier he got the kick away but got hit, and that gave Jeanette a new set of downs, but the Rangers answered the touchdown that followed but with a touchdown of their own. Fort Cherry first and 10 from its own 21. Sieg handles a low snap, gets the ball off, pass is complete, and out of bounds. A little unhappiness by Fort Cherry fans. The play right at the sideline when Cook got thrown that direction. I think the throw action started inbounds. So.
Yep.
If you're the Rangers, you don't like it, but looked like a legal play.
Yeah, that was a good throw, though, from Sieg. Don't want to overlook that.
Second catch of the night for Cook. Sieg rolls to his left, dumps the ball off to the left side. Completion to Evan Rogers. First down for Cherry.
Right
ten,
there.
I have 10 first downs, by the way. We'll confirm that. But Rangers out at the 42-yard line.
Right there. Rogers was uncovered on that left side.
15 catches this year for Evan Rogers, 6 foot junior. That is actually, I believe, the 11th first down. Pass play complete into Jeanette territory. And Cook delivers a hit. And Fort Cherry, I think, is going to use a timeout to stop the clock with 31 seconds to play. That completion to Cook, good to the 39. It's 19 yards and a Fort Cherry timeout. 31 seconds to play in the half. We're back in just a minute here on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Founded in Fort Cherry and now brewing in Burgettstown, the Kramer family invites you to experience Kramer's Greenhouse and their Cole Tipple Brewery and Raccoon Creek Winery, home of Washington County's old Craft Brewery. They've been proud supporters of the area schools, scholars, and student athletes for four generations. Stop into their dog and kid-friendly tap and tasting room and learn more about their craft beer, handcrafted wine, and locally grown plants and products, or visit kramersgreenhouse.com.
Welcome back. That pass play to Cook, 19 yards, it puts Matt Sieg past the 4,000-yard pass mark in his career, becoming just the second WPIL player ever to pass for 4,000 and rush for 4,000 yards in his career.
I'd like to see those numbers next year when his story's completely finished.
31.2 seconds to play. First and 10 for Cherry at the Jeanette 39. Sieg with time. Throws the ball to the far sideline, laying out, and just cannot get there to make the catch. Boy, that pass just carried a little too far. Gavin Grace, the intended receiver.
I think we're going to get either a defensive holder or DPI.
Pass interference is the call. That's a 15-yard penalty. Now take the ball to the 24. Second penalty against Jeanette, and this one a second 15-yard mark off. Good to have you along on WJPA AM in Washington, online WJPA.com, the WJPA Sports Network, and NFHS. Timeout Jeanette, 25 seconds to play in the half, a break in the action. Rangers 21, Jayhawks 7. We're back on WJPA in just a minute.
I'm RJ Diaz, your safe money guy. If you're approaching retirement, we need to talk. I offer retirement income planning strategies with lower risk and guaranteed income. Call me, 412-569-4000. And remember, I offer safe money investing with zero fees. Let's get together for a free no-obligation review of your retirement plans. I'm RJ Diaz, your safe money guy. 412-569-4000.
This is Coach Guy Montecalvo for the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Greene Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
For Cherry, first and 10 at the Jeanette 24. Quarterback keeper Sig steps out of a tackle. 10-5, touchdown.
There he is. You approach that red area. I said it before. He seems unstoppable when you get into that final quarter of the field. And Sig just able to get to the second level. And as I said, he's just impossible to stop when he gets there.
Matt Sig has scored on his last three runs, going 12, 43, and now 24 yards. The Rangers scored twice in the last 95 seconds. Cornally holds, Massey kicks, and the kick is good. Fort Cherry, 28, Jeanette, 7. 17 seconds to play first half. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
Tackle a great career as a production associate at Precision Marshall Steel. Score starting wages of $25 to $30 an hour. Earn $35 an hour in just 2 years with rapid progression increases. PM Steel's playbook includes paid training, excellent benefits, 401k, and pension. Don't stand on the sidelines. Precision Marshall Steel. Visit 99 Berry Road or steeljobs.us for more info. Steeljobs.us. Join a winning team.
Coverage tonight brought to you by the law firm of Gordon and Reese. Continued best wishes to Fort Cherry from Gordon and Reese and the entire Miller family. Coming up at the half, we're going to get a chance to break down what has happened since Fort Cherry roughed the Jeanette punter. And it is pretty staggering. 17.4 seconds to play. Kick will bound inside the 20, picked up there by Powell. Powell over the 30, fumbled the ball. It's being batted around. And I think Jeanette got on the loose ball, but that ball got smacked around. It went forward and then got knocked backwards, and the Jayhawks do indeed recover it at their own 34-yard line.
Blake Swader forced that fumble for Fort Cherry. Comes in, puts his helmet right on the football.
So Jeanette down 28-7 with 9 seconds to play. Question is, what do they do here? Obviously, they have the home run threat of Chase Powell and Kimoni Brown, but the last thing you want to do is have one run back on you. Brown with trips right. Passes it across the middle. Ball is caught. Powell going to step out of bounds, and he will get the clock stopped.
Second down.
It'll be second down at the 38-yard line. 4 yards on that short completion. That one, that's not going to help much. And 4.3 seconds to play. Jace Powell with 6 first half catches.
And if you're Fort Cherry here, you have to have multiple defensive backs tracking Powell on this play. Obviously, you don't want to give up anything big to someone else, but Powell's the one you have to be honed in on.
And now the Jayhawks are going to use their second timeout. Here's the thing. If you're Fort Cherry, you just got to make sure somebody doesn't get in the end zone with the ball.
Yep.
Because you should have enough people back to handle all of that. Run down scores that we have. Here it's 28-7 Fort Cherry. The other semifinal in 1A, last word we had was Clareton 16, Bishop Canavan nothing. 2A scores, Seton LaSalle rolling Steel Valley 27. How about the irony of this? Steel Valley playing at West Mifflin. Ray Brazo, head coach of Steel Valley, former head coach at West Mifflin, gets to go back home, sort of.
It's been a rough one over there for the Ironmen.
South Park 14-7 up on Elwood City. Central Valley 14-7 lead on Elizabeth Forward, but they haven't had an update there for a while. Pine Richland 21-0 on Bethel Park. That's at the half. 4.3 seconds to play. Second and 6 for the Jayhawks. Brown sets and launches the ball deep. Ball is knocked away incomplete, but they're going to throw a flag in, and I believe this one's going to be on Sean Robertson, not the deep man coming across to knock the ball loose, but I think Robertson might have had contact with that ball in the air.
Yeah, and you know that's a penalty that doesn't need to happen. I mean, you have the receiver right along the sideline. Even if he makes the grab, I'm not saying you even let him do that, but even if he makes the grab, he has nowhere to go with it.
Now, the ball should go to the Fort Cherry 47, so we're going to have an untimed down because the clock has expired. So each team now guilty of a defensive pass interference, but clearly Timoni Brown has the arm to get it there now.
Yep, now you can go full Hail Mary right here.
And the Rangers have 3 guys back up the field 25 yards, and they're just drifting back. Brown gets hit, flag down in the backfield. Pass to the goal line is picked off. Return up the far sideline. Shifty moves there, and Matt Sieg going to run out of time and space. Matt Sieg with the pick. That's his 4th interception of the year. And that flag going to be a holding call in the offensive backfield, and the half is going to come to an end. 2 turnovers for the Jayhawks in the first half. 1 fumble earlier, 1 interception late. Teams are heading to the locker room. Fort Cherry 28, Jeanette 7 after 2 quarters. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation on NFHS.
You deserve a bank that lifts up your business, that shares your spirits and your taste for success. At Washington Financial, we pride ourselves on crafting solutions that are as one of a kind as your business is. Go with the bank that gets you. Washington Financial Bank.
Fun, memories, friendship. We're here for all of it. Here for the big moments and the small ones too. We're here for unforgettable triumph, momentary misfortune, and the impromptu throwdown. We're out here each day, chasing something great. Call it adventure, call it play, we call it fun. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
Welcome back to Canonsburg's Memorial Stadium. 28-7, Fort Cherry with the lead. Fort Cherry scored on its opening possession, driving 60 yards, capped by Matt Sieg's 11-yard touchdown run. We were less than 2.5 minutes in, and the Rangers had a 7-0 lead. The Sieg 11-yard run, Massey with the extra point. Teams traded possessions from there. Jeanette fumbled it away on their first possession. The Rangers stopped on an incomplete pass, ball over on downs. Jeanette picked up a couple of first downs, but they gave it up on downs after getting it to first and goal at the 3. And 4 shots from inside the 5-yard line never did get in. Rangers only pick up a couple of yards, and they punt. Jeanette gets the ball at the Fort Cherry 40-yard line, but the 3 plays led to a loss of a yard. And the Jayhawks in punt formation, low snap, fielded by Brown. And he ends up on an E when he catches the snap. So Fort Cherry takes over in the midfield area. 7 plays later, Matt Sieg scores from 12 yards out. The Massey kick made it 14-0 Fort Cherry. Just under 7 minutes to play in the first half. And from there, things got a little crazy. Rangers give up a first down, but then force a punt. But in doing so, Kimoni Brown was bumped into by Colton Temple. Running into the kicker penalty gave the Jayhawks a new set of downs. And on 2nd and 10 from their own 41, Brown launched one deep to Jace Powell, who was wide open, made the grab, 59-yard touchdown. Michael Schaefer with the PAT cut the Fort Cherry lead in half, 14-7, but not for long. After a line drive kick handled by the Rangers at their own 48-yard line, Sieg with a 9-yard pass to Gavin Grace, and then Matt Sieg scrambles for 43 yards and a score. The extra point kick from Massey made it 21-7. The Rangers force 3 and out and get the ball at their own 29-yard line, and then all kind of magic happened. A couple of pass plays for a first down to midfield. A pass for Braden Cook for 19, put the ball at the Jeanette 39-yard line. Pass up the far sideline, receiver interfered with, moved the ball to the 24, and from there, Matt Sieg did it again. His 4th rushing touchdown of the night, his 3rd consecutive run for a touchdown, and the Rangers had built the lead up to 28-7, where we are here at the half. Other scores in this bracket, it's Clareton 16, Bishop Canavan nothing. That game at intermission. St. LaSalle 27-0 up on Steel Valley, and South Park leading Elwood City 14-7. Those both late first half. That's in the 2A bracket. 3A, we have a halftime score. Central Valley 21, Elizabeth Forward 7. No update yet on Imani Christian and Avonworth. And the 5A semifinals, number 1 Pine Richland leading number 5 Bethel Park 21-0. Peters Township with a long kickoff return after an Upper St. Clair field goal late. Peters Township 7, Upper St. Clair 3. That's at the half. They should be getting ready to resume action. Following the game, we'll recognize our player of the game. You can start to fill out your ballots now. That recognition brought to you by Washington County College Center, operated by Community College of Beaver County. Going to get a news update, the PAC football report, but before we go there, let's go to the sideline and pick up a little of the entertainment from the Jeanette Band. Of course, in my outstanding timing, I go when they play the last note of that song. But let's go back to the sideline now one more time.
Thank you.
Jeanette Band's rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody. Their own take on a classic hit.
Of the great tracks of all time.
We're at the half. Fort Cherry 28, Jeanette 7. News is next here on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Community College of Beaver County is now in Washington County. We are here with the support you need and the value you want at the Washington County College Center. Explore our in-demand career paths in aviation, education, and criminal justice, or start college early with dual enrollment courses and high school academies. At the Washington County College Center, your pathway to success starts right at home. Learn more at ccbcwashington.com.
It's good to go at TJ's Deli Mart and McDonald. Fill your tank, grab a snack and drink, and go. TJ's Deli Mart has sandwiches and hot foods, too. When you're running around this holiday season, pull into TJ's Deli Mart, get what you need, and go. TJ's Deli Mart on Lincoln Avenue in McDonald, also in Robinson and Oakdale, owned by the Chem Oil Company. TJ's Deli Mart is an independent convenience store chain, open daily until 11 p.m. TJ's Deli Mart says, go Rangers!
Good evening. I'm Lynn Manning with your WJPA Halftime Report. We're at 48 degrees right now here in Washington. We're not going to get a whole lot cooler tonight. We'll drop down to the low 40s, but otherwise some fog moving in, maybe some light rain and drizzle hanging around through early tomorrow morning, and then eventually we'll see some sunshine, and the weekend doesn't look too bad. We'll take a complete look at that forecast coming up. Washington County 911 tells WJPA that emergency crews were called out for a fire at the Allenport Steel Mill on Wheeling Pittsburgh Drive this morning, just before noon. Photos from the scene showed smoke billowing from the site. Officials say that area is in the process of being torn down. Dispatchers say two firefighters were transported from the scene with minor non-life-threatening injuries. They say the cause of the blaze isn't known at this point, but it appears the state police fire marshal has not been called in to investigate. Firefighters were on the scene for quite a while. Dispatchers say the crews were there and wrapped up their efforts shortly before 4 o'clock this afternoon. A federal judge ruled yesterday that the planned closure of the Pyrex glass plant in Charleroi may continue as planned, but the battle may not be over. Even though the judge ruled that the state attorney general's office failed to prove that the shutdown violated any antitrust laws, a spokesperson for the state attorney general's office told WJPA that although the ruling is disappointing, the decision makes clear that the case is not over and their antitrust litigation would continue. He would offer no further comment, though, on exactly what that might mean. Donald Trump's choice to lead the Justice Department is raising eyebrows based on some legal issues following his nominee. ABC's Zorin Shaw has details.
President-elect Donald Trump picking Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz to run his Justice Department, the very department which investigated him for obstruction of justice and sex trafficking. Gaetz denies both those claims and the department closing those investigations without bringing charges, but a bipartisan House Ethics Committee launched its own investigation for alleged sexual misconduct and illicit drug use. In a statement, Representative Matt Gaetz said the allegations are invented and would constitute false testimony to Congress. Zorin Shah, ABC News Los Angeles.
Meanwhile, Biden administration officials are working against the clock, doling out billions of dollars in grants and taking other steps to try and preserve at least some of Biden's legacy before President-elect Donald Trump takes office in January. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says it's the administration's responsibility to spend the funds that Congress has authorized. His statement comes as Trump has pledged to rescind unspent funding in President Biden's landmark climate and health care law and stop clean energy development projects. But Trump will control more than the purse strings in January. His administration can also propose new regulations to undo some of what the Biden administration did through the rulemaking process. Well, there were some anxious moments for passengers and crew on an Alaska Airlines flight from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles last night. ABC's Stephanie Romo says they apparently lost a tire on takeoff.
Brace.
The shaky landing met with a round of applause from relieved passengers.
I think we're all just really relieved.
The Boeing plane sustaining tire damage on takeoff. Dulles Airport reported finding debris that may have been from the tire of the plane, making an emergency landing in Los Angeles. The left tire visibly damaged.
Meanwhile, ABC's Alex Stone tells us that two people were actually hurt after a phone battery caught fire on a Southwest Airlines plane at the gate in Denver today.
One person has minor injuries from the evacuation, and the owner of the cell phone that caught fire, Southwest says, was treated for burns. The Boeing 737 was at the gate in Denver getting ready to leave for Houston when the phone battery caught fire. It ignited a seat cushion, which the crew put out. Passengers in the front of the plane walked out through the front door and into a jet bridge. In the back of the plane, passengers went down emergency slides to get out. The FAA is investigating. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And speaking of airports, if you find yourself in an airport in New York City and you're hungry, better have some extra cash on you.
You're hungry and racing to catch your flight, and many times having to shell out more money than what you'd like for that ham and cheese sandwich or sports drink. New York City airports, JFK and LaGuardia, now gearing up for price hikes on food starting in January. Vendors cite higher rents along with mandatory wage increases for workers and improved benefits that's driving prices up further. So in addition to packing patience, you may want to pack a snack. Michelle Franzen, ABC News, New York.
A New Hampshire animal shelter has an enormous mouse problem. The New Hampshire Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals says it's scrambling to care for an overwhelming influx of rapidly reproducing rodents. They say it all started Monday when a guy came in saying he wanted to give up 150 mice. But then he clarified that would be 150 containers of mice, not the individual critters. He had 73 with him that day. And then many of them already pregnant. And now many of them have since become pregnant. Now they are working to find people to adopt the mice and some other shelters to take them in. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 305 points to 43,444. The S&P off 78 to 5820. And the NASDAQ dropped 427 to 18,680. In sports, the Pens are on the road tonight.
Remember how great the old days felt? Windows rolled down, wind in your hair, date by your side? Ah, that feeling. But are you missing that feeling now when the lights go out? Curtis Pharmacy can help with Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra. Up to 80% less, as low as a dollar a pill. Get the rush, save the cash, get to Curtis Pharmacy. All they need is your doctor's name and they do the rest. Curtis Pharmacy, your better way pharmacy.
This is Mark Baer from Bud Baer Mazda. Come in now for the Mazda A Season to Move You event. We have up to $1,250 in bonus conquest cash. That means you get that cash if you own almost any kind of vehicle in your household. And all applicable incentives. So if there's 0%, you get that. If there's $3,000, you get that. Go to budbearmazda.com and get all the details.
Offer good on 2024 and 2025 Mazda CX-30, CX-50s, and select CX-70s and CX-90s.
Back at Memorial Stadium in Canonsburg, we're at the half for Cherry 28, Jeanette 7. We brought you the Jeanette marching band earlier. Let's go back to the field and enjoy a little bit of this song from the Fort Cherry Band. I want to give a shout out to both bands and the cheerleaders here tonight. It has rained off and on throughout the pregame and during the game, and Ike Troopers right out there in it supporting their schools. 28-7, Fort Cherry leading Jeanette. Coming up next, Joe Onderko, the commissioner of the President's Athletic Conference, with this week's, a final week of the college football regular season, the PAC Football Report.
Welcome to the PAC Football Report for November 16th, 2024. I'm Joe Onderko. This week we will take a quick look back at last week's football action in the President's Athletic Conference, while also previewing Week 11 contests for the final Saturday of the regular season. The top three teams remain tied at 8-1 as we head into the final weekend of the 2024 season. Grove City edged Case Western Reserve 30-20, and Carnegie Mellon blew past Allegheny 63-10 to both keep pace at the top with Washington and Jefferson, which had the Week 10 bye. In other Week 10 action, Westminster routed rival Geneva 56-7, Waynesburg rolled past Teal 37-10, and Bethany earned its first win of the 2024 season, snapping a 27-game skid by winning at St. Vincent 21-13. PAC Player of the Week honors for Week 11 went to Westminster senior QB Billy Levack on offense, with 17 of 23 passing for 293 yards and 4 TDs at Geneva. Carnegie Mellon grad linebacker Logan Young on defense, with 5 tackles, 2 interceptions including a 50-yard pick 6, and a fumble recovery versus Allegheny. And senior punter Dan Berube of Grove City on special teams, after averaging just under 50 yards per punt, including a career-best 63-yarder versus Case. Newcomer of the week again went to Bethany freshman QB Brett Phillips, with 283 passing yards, 44 rushing yards, and 3 TDs at St. Vincent. Week 11 is highlighted by the 55th edition of the Academic Bowl, as 6-3 Case Western Reserve hosts 8-1 Carnegie Mellon at DeSanto Field in Cleveland at 1:30 p.m. CMU leads the all-time series 33-19 and has won the last 5 meetings, including a 31-21 decision in Pittsburgh last year. Veteran Spartan head coach Greg Debelak notes that, as with most rivalry games, you can ignore the records as both teams will be at the top of their game.
It's Carnegie Mellon Case. Both teams are going to get after each other. Both teams recognize the significance of this game.
Separated by just 14 miles on PA Route 208, 8-1 Grove City travels to New Wilmington for a 1 p.m. kickoff against 7-2 Westminster at Harold Bury Stadium. It's the 106th all-time meeting between the Presbyterian rivals, dating back to 1892. The Wolverines outslugged the Titans 17-7 in Grove City last season, but Westminster won the last meeting in New Wilmington 24-17 in 2022. 8-1 Washington and Jefferson travels to Meadville to face 1-8 Allegheny at Frank Fuhrer Field at 1 p.m., with the Presidents in search of at least a share of the PAC football title for the first time since 2018. W&J barely edged the Gators 35-28 in 2023, one of many reasons President Head Coach Mike Sirianni and his squad are not looking past Saturday's game toward a potential NCAA playoff berth.
I have to look no farther than to tell my kids about my first year as a head coach. We were 8-1, and we were playing a 1-8 Buffalo State team with a chance to clinch an NCAA playoff berth, and we lost. So that's all I had to share. We are on full alert for Allegheny.
In other Week 11 action, 4-5 Waynesburg travels to Beaver Falls to face 4-5 Geneva at Reeves Field at 1 p.m. It's the 85th meeting between the Presbyterian schools since 1908. The Yellow Jackets lead the all-time series 44-36-4, but the Golden Tornadoes posted a 43-29 road victory in Waynesburg a year ago. Veteran GT mentor Gino DeMarco previews the matchup.
You know, we're hoping to get a 5-5 season. You know, 4-5 versus 4-5. Here we go. You always want to play a game, your last game of the year, that means something. And it obviously means something to both of us. So here we go.
Finally, fresh off its skid-breaking win at St. Vincent last week, 1-8 Bethany looks to make it 2 in a row when they host 2-7 Teal at Bison Stadium at 1 p.m. The longtime PAC foes are meeting for the 79th time since 1917, with the Tomcats holding a narrow 41-36-1 advantage. Teal has won the past 2 matchups, including a 22-14 win in Greenville last season. St. Vincent has the Week 11 bye. That's all for this edition of the PAC Football Report. Log on to the conference website at www.pacathletics.org all season long for the latest news, scores, statistics, and other league information. You can also follow us on social media via X, Facebook, and Instagram. Links are available at the PAC website. I'm Joe Underko. Thanks for listening. And for a final time in 2024, we'll see you at the stadium.
Hi, sports fans. This is Scott Day from the Day Insurance Agency in Washington and Hickory. This year, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary in business, serving the insurance needs of Washington County residents. Our clients have relied on us to deliver dependable, professional service throughout the years, spanning three generations of the Day family. Our clients know us because we live here. We want to say thank you to all who have supported us over the last 50 years. The Day Insurance Agency in Washington and Hickory, proud sponsors of Washington County sports teams.
Imperial Land Corporation is proud to be developing real estate in Washington and Allegheny counties. Over 3,000 acres can accommodate any size development. The nearly 900-acre Fort Cherry Development District along PA 576 is prime commercial real estate minutes from the Pittsburgh Airport and I-79. Visit imperialland.com or call 412-424-0495 for development opportunities. Good luck to the Fort Cherry Rangers from Imperial Land Corporation.
Finna make common sense cool again. No trippin', I'm the man, caught slippin'. I'll be 20, 30, 50 high. Something to send to Uncle Sam. No, it's hit fans, only saw him Fredo Land. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Check his post, he ain't got it. Send plans, more than likely, she about it. What he posts, more than likely, he ain't about it. Caught a wave, now we finally making noise. Y'all quiet, y'all timid, y'all shy. Illinois, put in work, finally got it sound, we got it. Illinois, y'all ain't even got no poise. Y'all know, I'm the boy, I'm the boy, I'm the boy.
Beautiful shot of downtown Canonsburg from on high pregame. Just a look there, you get a view of Memorial Stadium. 28-7, Fort Cherry with the lead here at intermission. And following the game, we'll recognize our player of the game. Kamoni Brown has 143 yards passing on 7 completions. That's 20 yards a pop. Matt Sieg has thrown for 103 yards, but he's run for 132. And those of you watching on the NFHS Network, get a little Matt Sieg touchdown package there. An 11-yard run, flip it around the other way. He'll scramble in from 12 yards out. And oh, no, he's not done. He's not done. That's just his second touchdown. Here we go from 43 and just running away from people. Cut, cut, cut. And into the end zone for touchdown number 3. And oh no, here we go. One more time from 24. Step over a man there and just split the defenders and take it to the house. Leading candidates for player of the game. And yeah, it ain't even close. We're down to the general election now.
I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I mean, that would just be a flat out lie.
The primary election is over. Fort Cherry will kick off. Jeanette will receive. Scores that we gave you earlier pretty much right on. By the way, your dad tells me Imani Christian and Avonworth are scoreless at the half. Oh, my. Rangers set to kick off with a 28-7 lead. The kick is a short one, and it'll be cradled right at the 35. I'm not sure that's exactly where they want that to go. Might have wanted a little more length, but the ball covered there by Jeanette's Isaac Smartnick. And Jeanette will take over to its own 35.
Obviously, down 3 scores. This is pretty much, you know, a fight to stay in the game right now for Jeanette on this opening possession. Have to come out. You need to get points on the board. It's as simple as that.
Fort Cherry with 152 yards rushing and 255 total. Jeanette just 22 yards on the ground and 165 total thanks to that 143 passing for Kamoni Brown. Brown fakes the handoff, runs around the right end himself, going to pick up 5 yards out to the 40-yard line. Kamoni Brown, 6 foot, 145-pound junior, gets 5.
Yeah, right there. Blake Sweeter had a great angle coming in, but wasn't able to get Brown down, and it allowed him to get the 5 yards. Probably would have been a 1 or 2 yard gain if Sweeter was able to make the play.
Second down and 5. Jeanette at its own 40-yard line. Jayhawks in a situation where really they have to score every time. Brown, a quarterback draw, trying to pick a hole. Made a man miss. Got back to the line of scrimmage. Nothing more. Maybe the length of the football only.
I thought that it was going to be possible for Brown to get to the edge right there, but coming out of the backfield, Mendoza did not get the block at the line of scrimmage, and that's really what had to force Brown back inside.
No game. South Park with an early third quarter touchdown to extend the lead on number 3 Elwood City to 21-7, looking like 1-2 in the 2A, St. LaSalle and South Park both in control of their situations. Third down and 5. Jeanette at its own 40-yard line. Brown drops straight, throws deep right down the middle of the field, incomplete, and flags are flying. And defensive back beaten, and you know, in high school football, it's 15 yards.
Yeah, it was a smart play by Robertson. He definitely got beat. I didn't even react. I think he did that on purpose. Clear grab.
Seven penalties against Fort Cherry tonight, and that's now 60 yards in Markoff's. New set of downs for the Jayhawks. They get a first down at the Fort Cherry 45 by way of penalty. Jeanette has been really all night long, two by two, two wide outs each direction, motion to trips some of the time, no motion this time. Brown drops on his own side, pass down the middle, incomplete. Don't know, I think that was tipped out in front, I believe. Looked like Tyler Wolf got a hand on it, or did he not?
I think he just airmailed the target Mendoza right there. Mendoza was open and was settled into a soft spot of the zone, just an errant throw from Brown.
I have Brown unofficially 7 of 14 now, one interception. Second down and 10 at the Rangers, 45 for the Jayhawks. Brown forced to pull it down, roll, and step away from pressure. Ball underthrown, and this one is tipped, and it goes incomplete. Went through the hands of Blake Sweeter.
Yeah, right there, Sweeter should have come down with that one. A dangerous throw from Brown. He was trying to fit it into Powell, and Sweeter got both hands on it.
That would have been interception number 5 this year for Blake Sweeter. Leads the team. So now third down and 10. The Jayhawks with the ball at the Fort Cherry 45. 10-13 to play third quarter. And really, unless the Jayhawks take a big loss here, this is, I mean, you're two downs here to get the 10 yards.
Absolutely.
Down 21. Low snap. Brown has to dive on it. There's that big loss. Another bad snap for Jeanette.
Yeah, that's going to be a loss of 6.
Now put the ball back on Jeanette's side of midfield. I'm charging that to the team. Just statistically between you and me. One earlier on a punt formation that Brown fielded on a knee, and this one, it just skitters back to him, and he tries to pick it up, and then when he can't get it the first time, he just dove on the ball. And now he's in punt formation on 4th and 16. So rugby roll right and punt the ball. And a diving attempt, and the Rangers turn the ball over. Just not a good decision by Evan Rogers. And the muffed punt gives Jeanette the ball at the Fort Cherry 28.
Yeah, I really don't know what Rogers was thinking there. But to be honest, it was heading right for Cornelli, who had his back turned. It, probably a good chance that if Rogers doesn't dive, it hits squarely off of Cornelli and leads to a similar situation. But either way, if you're Rogers, you can't make that play and give Jeanette some life.
Well, the punt muff picks up 23 yards. It's first and 10 at the Fort Cherry 23. Defense did its job, and now got to be right back out there. Brown to pass, near side. Incomplete. Diving attempt at deflecting the ball, but the pass off the mark intended for Xavier Odoricio Ferro. Kimoni Brown has come out, misfired on three straight passes here in the second half. .914 to play, third quarter, 28-7, Fort Cherry leads. And the Jayhawks, two left, one to the right, blocking back in as well. Running play, Mendoza got off contact, going to pick up yardage and get inside the 20. Anyway, they're going to actually spot him to the 18-yard line somehow.
First down.
Okay. Didn't have the best angle at where he went down, but I didn't see him at the 18, but a 10-yard run for Mendoza and another first down. Same alignment. Twins left, single receiver right, blocking back, hand off to Mendoza, and Mendoza gets to about the 26 where he is taken backwards. Gain of two, or to the 16, not the 26, my apologies. To the 16, gain of two.
Yeah, this run defense still just swarming for Fort Cherry. Nothing there for the most part throughout this game.
Jeanette has 33 rushing yards in the game. Minus 16 in the second quarter. Second down and eight at the 16. Brown rolls right, sets and throws for the end zone. Undercut and a battle for the ball. And it's going to be a touchdown. Oh, looked like Matt Sieg had a hand on it. And coming out with it is Noah Sunder.
I thought Sieg picked it off, to be honest with you. But Sunder wins the fight. Makes the grab. We'll see it on replay.
Yeah, I don't think Sieg ever had the chance to pull it down, and Sunder took it away.
He had it right at the tips of his fingers, but never had a real chance to get solid hold on it. Sunder makes the grab, a nice play.
Kudos to the Jayhawks. Another Fort Cherry mistake ends up as a touchdown. Jeanette scored twice, and both times coming off mistakes. Extra point kick is good. Fort Cherry 28, Jeanette 14. 7:56 to play in the third. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
My Dream Fields has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night and a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Become one of tomorrow's leaders today at Washington and Jefferson College. Visit WNJ to learn about our scholarships, leadership, and professional readiness opportunities. Talk with professors, coaches, and students. Schedule your campus visit today, in person or online, to explore all we have to offer. WNJ, your future, founded here. Visit washjeff.edu/visit to learn more. That's washjeff.edu/visit.
Jeanette set to kick off. Little chip kick heading down the far sideline, and the Rangers will let it roll out of bounds. The kick out of bounds is illegal. 28-14, Fort Cherry leading Jeanette. But yeah, the earlier play on special teams running into the kicker gave Jeanette a first down, and a couple of plays later they throw the deep ball. This time, for some reason, the Rangers try to field an awkward-looking punt and mishandle it. Jeanette takes over, and four plays later, they get another touchdown pass. The only two scores of the night coming after Fort Cherry special teams mistakes. Rangers with the ball at their own 38-yard line, first and 10. Sieg will run around the right end. He's up over the 45, the 50-yard line, and finally taken down. First down.
Just something to note, unofficially coming into this possession, I had Jeanette at 18 minutes and 12 seconds of time of possession compared to 9:52 for Fort Cherry. But that's been mostly due to good field position and quick touchdowns for Fort Cherry.
15 yards on the carry. Fourth quarter, Peters Township 7, Upper St. Clair 3. Cook goes in motion. Seek fakes to him, keeps it himself, and bounces to the left side. 35, 30, heading for the pylon. 10, 5, touchdown number 5.
It's just too easy for Matt Sieg right there on the option. Keeps it, and once again, he gets to the second level, and it really seems like no one has a chance. Gets outside right at the 40, and from there, he could just pretty much run in a straight line to the end zone.
16 seconds after Jeanette scored, the Rangers answer. Fort Cherry with a player down, cramping in the end zone. Ahead of the extra point, we'll grab a quick break. Fort Cherry at the moment up 34-14 with a PAT to follow. We're back on WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Founded in Fort Cherry and now brewing in Burgettstown, the Kramer family invites you to experience Kramer's Greenhouse and their Cole Tipple Brewery and Raccoon Creek Winery, home of Washington County's oldest craft brewery. They've been proud supporters of the area schools, scholars, and student athletes for four generations. Stop into their dog and kid-friendly tap and tasting room and learn more about their craft beer, handcrafted wine, and locally grown plants and products, or visit kramersgreenhouse.com.
I'm RJ Diaz, your Safe Money Guy. If you're approaching retirement, we need to talk. I offer retirement income planning strategies with lower risk and guaranteed income. Call me. 412-569-4000. And remember, I offer safe money investing with zero fees. Let's get together for a free no obligation review of your retirement plans. I'm RJ Diaz, your safe money guy. 412-569-4000.
7:40 to play, third quarter. Gavin Grace up to his feet, runs off under his own power. Shane Cornally handles a little bit of a high snap back behind him, tees it up, and Nick Massey boots it home. Fort Cherry 35, Jeanette 14 in the WPIAL 1A semifinals. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
This is Coach Guy Monticalva for the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
Our coverage tonight brought to you in part by the law firm of Gordon and Reese. Continued best wishes to Fort Cherry from Gordon and Reese and the entire Miller family. We have about 19 minutes and 40 seconds left in this ball game, and Fort Cherry with the 35-14 point lead. You know, we talked about Jeanette really in a situation where they have to score on every possession. We said that before they scored and then Fort Cherry answered. So 4 minutes and change are off the clock, and they still have to score in every possession.
Yeah, they also, one thing we didn't mention, they were going to need some stops in there too, which has not looked good for them as of late.
Fort Cherry has won 26 consecutive games against WPIL opponents. Are the defending champions with the win last year against Southside area and leading here in the semifinals on Jeanette 35-14. Massey on the run-up, and the kick will carry deep to the only man back there, Jace Powell, up over the 15-20. 25's got the sideline, 40, and finally hit and taken out of bounds over on the Jeanette sideline. A big return from Jace Powell.
One thing I just want to mention, Bob, Matt Sieg's last five carries, he has a 12-yard touchdown, 43-yard touchdown, a 24-yard touchdown, a 15-yard carry, and then a 47-yard touchdown. That's explosive right there.
Four touchdowns in his last five runs, five in the game, 28 for the season, and nearly 200 rushing yards tonight puts him close to 1,700 for the season. Jeanette, first and 10 from its own 46-yard line. Kimoni Brown handles a high snap. Gets rid of it just in time. Pass down the far side is incomplete. Ooh. Intended for Xavier Odoricio Ferro. Did we get a flag?
Yeah, they looked like the line judge came in and fired one.
Defensive holding will be the call.
That's a little late for a defensive hold to get thrown, at least.
Fans, if you make your way over to the
ball goes to the Fort Cherry 44.
All hot food now on sale.
70 yards in penalties tonight against Fort Cherry. The last four, special teams or defense. First and 10 from the 44. Brown has 4 men in a pattern. Quarterback draw, and he gets hit down at the 50. A sack on the play.
In on the sack. That was Joey Close. Immediate pressure, though, from Nate Hirant. Really forcing Brown into Close.
And one of the Jeanette offensive linemen is shaken up. I think it's Nick Stuchel, the left tackle. The sack, loss of four, or loss of six, excuse me. And Kimoni Brown, who came into the game in 11 games, was averaging about 100 yards per game rushing, a little over 100 yards per game. I have Brown at this moment 15 carries for 12 yards.
Yeah, that's less than a yard per carry. And that's Brown is a dynamic threat, but really he has been of no threat with his legs tonight. That's just the one thing, though. It's been consistent week in and week out. We saw cracks start to form a little bit against Cornell last week. But Fort Cherry's run defense is beyond stellar.
Stuchel makes his way to the far sideline. This is not a deep roster for Jeanette. And it's a young roster as well, only a couple of seniors. Second and 16 at the 50. Trips to the right. Brown drops and rolls to the right. Now wants to look to throw back the other way, getting pressure, rolls and throws the ball up the sideline onto the bench. Incomplete.
Yeah, I think Brown wanted to come throw that one across, but I think he would have been better off keeping his eyes downfield. I think he started to feel the pressure a little bit, and he took his eyes and just tucked the ball.
Brown in this second half is 1 for 5. That one completion good for a touchdown, but it just as easily could have been an interception. Yep. 6:47 to play, third quarter. 35-14, Fort Cherry with the lead. Clock stop with the incompletion. Jeanette facing third and 16 right at midfield. Brown, straight drop. Pressure coming in his face. Made one man miss. Keeps the play alive. Rolls near side. Throws. Slips as he does, and the ball falls incomplete. Boy, and that's a dangerous slip there for Kimoni Brown. That's where you end up. There is a flag down. Man is going to be the sign. But that slip there by Brown, that's where you pull a groin muscle and get hurt badly.
Anytime you see a player slip on turf without contact, you always worry.
So the ineligible man downfield penalty. My guess is the Rangers decline and force a 4th and 16. Yeah, that is going to be the case. 4th down and 16 to the credit of Tommy Pallone. When the Jayhawks have been in these situations in this game, they have gone ahead and punted the ball away.
Yeah, I would expect that you're probably going to see. No, it's not Brown is going to be punting it. I think it's going to be McAllister Steele.
And he was questionable for this game, injured last week. Steele takes the snap and just really a very, very short kick. It would not have picked up the first down.
That's actually, it's Marcus McGowan.
Yeah, when you're down to your third kicker, you know you're in trouble. And that punt, again, That didn't get to the first down stick, which was only 16 yards. So Fort Cherry's going to take over at its own 39-yard line. 35-14 Rangers, 6:31 to play third quarter. Two running backs with Matt Sieg, and the one will get the handoff running left side. It's Christian Yanosko's first touch. Got a hand down to keep his body off the turf, and he gets forward to the 46-yard line, a 15-yard run for Yanosko.
Last week we saw Fort Cherry close out the win against Cornell with a drive that went over 7 minutes. Might see them try to utilize that same sort of style and chew some clock.
First and 10, running play goes inside. And forward for to about the 40-yard line on a run by, once again, it's Yanosko.
Second down.
6 yard pickup. And Yanosko coming out a little hobbled. He's going to limp his way back behind the coach's area. Second down and 4. Running play once again. It's Huey for a first down. And grab from around the waist and slowed down enough. Eli Jones got a hold, but another first down for the Rangers. 18 first downs in this game. And we're just over halfway through the third quarter. 7 yards on the run for Huey. Ryan Huey, a 5'9 sophomore.
Oh,
ball comes loose. Jayhawks say they have it. Sieg has fumbled the ball, and Jeanette has recovered. Punt muff and a fumble lost here in this half. So Jeanette has taken advantage of the last two Fort Cherry mistakes, and they recover the fumble here at the 27-yard line with 5:02 to play. Avonworth 7, Imani Christian nothing. That's in the third quarter. 5.5 minutes to play at Bethel Park. Peters Township 7, Upper St. Clair 3. First and 10 from the 27. Brown with time. Deep ball down the middle of the field. Two defenders there. The ball overthrown. Good job there to pinch the intended receiver, Hunter Schaefer, out of his pattern and then take off and try to track down the errant throw.
Yeah, here's the fumble.
Yeah, Sieg just running straight ahead. The ball got kicked out of his hand, yeah. I think. Six-yard run for Matt Sieg actually puts him right at 200 yards, but a fumble lost. Second down pass to the right side is caught. Nice move back into the middle of the field. And Carey going to get across the 35-yard line on a grab by Powell. Third down.
It's going to bring up third down.
Be a 9-yard pickup on the completion to Powell. 21st pass of the night for Kimoni Brown. 7 catches on the evening for the sophomore Jace Powell, his leading receiver. Powell with over 1,000 receiving yards. Third down and a yard to go. Kimoni Brown, just slip a tackle, gets the first down, and finally steps out of bounds over on the far sideline. 10-yard pickup for Brown. And a new set of downs. Clock stopped at 4:07 with the out-of-bounds play.
And I'll tell you what, a 1,000-yard season for a receiver in high school football is a pretty impressive accomplishment, not something that, you know, is very common.
Central Valley up on Elizabeth Forward now 28-7, end of three. Clairton 24, Bishop Canavan nothing, end of three. First and 10, Jayhawks. Brown steps up. Makes an inside-out move and just dropped the ball, and the Rangers recovered at the 48-yard line. He just flat-out dropped the football. So the two quarterbacks coughed the ball up on consecutive plays and just flat-out lost the handle. And Jeanette turns it over for the third time tonight.
And another time where Brown slipped as well. And I think as he started to go down, he tried to put his arm down to kind of brace himself, and the ball ended up coming out.
Forcheri takes over at the Jeanette 48. Play clock down to five. The Rangers send a man in motion. Sieg drops straight, now throws the ball for Cornally and overthrown, incomplete. Rangers did not look like they were all on the same page at any point in that pre-snap and play situation. First pass of the second half for Fort Cherry. Matt Sieg was 9 of 14 before intermission for 103 through the air. And 235 total offense in that first half for Sieg. Second down and 10. Sieg runs. He's got 10, 15, 18 yards. And down at the 32-yard line. 16-yard run for Matt Sieg and a Fort Cherry first down. Rangers right at the line of scrimmage right now, ready to go. Sieg hands it off. Yanosko runs left side. He's to the 25, to the 20, running out of a tackle, inside the 15, and shoved to the boundary at the 10.
Yeah, that was Salvini. Yeah,
thank
his
you.
First carry.
My apologies to the family Salvini. 22-yard run, his first carry of the night. 50th run of the year. And 470 rushing yards, 480 rushing yards now on the campaign. Salvini gets the call again. Inside the five and cleaned up at about the 4. 6-yard run on first down.
Looked like Salvini was going to trot into the end zone strong tackle, though, from Nicholas Mendoza.
Just under 3 minutes to play in the third. Fort Cherry up 35-14. The Rangers knocking at the door, something we thought they were going to do before turning it over, but the Jayhawks gave it back to them. Sieg with the keeper. Matt Sieg into the end zone again. Fort Cherry touchdown makes it 41-14, 2:30 remaining. 6 Matt Sieg rushing touchdowns tonight. Did he get hit deep in the end zone?
Yeah, a little bit of a toss from Lonnie Green.
Nah, we'll be all right. Nick Massey to kick out of the Cornally hold, and Nick Massey right on the money. Fort Cherry 42, Jeanette 14, 2:30 to play third quarter. Kickoff of the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
Tackle a great career as a production associate at Precision Marshall Steel. Score starting wages of $25 to $30 an hour. Earn $35 an hour in just 2 years with rapid progression increases. PM Steel's playbook includes paid training, excellent benefits, 401k, and pension. Don't stand on the sidelines. Precision Marshall Steel. Visit 99 Berry Road or steeljobs.us for more info. Steeljobs.us. Join a winning team.
Over on WJPA FM, Peters Township 7, Upper St. Clair 3. 3:20 to play. Upper St. Clair has the ball at its own 37-yard line. Upper St. Clair's kicked a field goal with about 25 seconds to play in the first half. Peters Township returned the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown, and that's the scoring in that ball game. Here, Matt Sieg has scored one touchdown in his first 9 carries. He scored 5 more in the last 8. Massey run up and the kick, and it's going to hit at about the 25 and bound past Brown and finally roll into the end zone. That's a touchback. 2.5 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Other scores: Central Valley 28-7 over Elizabeth Forward in the fourth. Avonworth 7, Imani Christian 7-0, third quarter. South Park up 21-7 on Elwood City. Seton LaSalle 27-0 on Steel Valley. Peters Township Upper St. Clair winner, likely to get Pine Richland. The Rams, number one seed, leading Bethel Park 21-0 at last check. And Fort Cherry and Clairton appear to be on a collision undefeated course. The Clairton Bears throwing another shutout, leading 24-0 in the fourth on Bishop Canavan. First and 10, Jayhawks at their own 20. Brown flushed and rolls all the way back to his own 3 and throws the ball rainbow up the sideline. It goes out of bounds at about the 25, incomplete.
The protection for Brown has completely crumbled in this second half.
But a Jeanette O'Lineman is down once again. We'll step aside for a timeout. 2:21 to play in the third. Fort Cherry 42, Jeanette 14. Back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
You deserve a bank that drives your business. One that's with you for the long haul and knows how to keep your business rolling. At Washington Financial, we pride ourselves on delivering customized solutions, ones that are built for the unique journey your business is on. Go with the bank that gets you. Washington Financial Bank.
Community College of Beaver County is now in Washington County. We are here with the support you need and the value you want at the Washington County College Center. Explore our in-demand career paths in aviation, education, and criminal justice, or start college early with dual enrollment courses and high school academies. At the Washington County College Center, your pathway to success starts right at home. Learn more at ccbcwashington.com.
Chem Oil in Oakdale congratulates the Fort Cherry Rangers for a second straight undefeated regular season and for another great postseason run. Best wishes to the players, coaches and families and fans on this exciting journey through the playoffs. From the entire Chem Oil family in Oakdale to everyone in the Fort Cherry family, have an enjoyable Thanksgiving celebration, a safe and happy holiday season, and a wonderful new year.
Injured O-lineman for Jeanette was the center, Wyatt Schaefer, 5'10", 238-pound junior. So Jayhawks have had trouble with snaps tonight on multiple occasions, and now they got a backup center in the game for second down and 10 from the 20. And the snap, Brown runs back under it and grabs it at his own 10-yard line in the air, directing traffic, rolls right, throws the ball up the sideline, incomplete. A diving attempt by intended receiver Noah Sunder, but no sooner do we talk about bad snaps issues, and there it goes.
Yeah, and right there, though, I actually thought the protection was fine. I think that Brown kind of panicked and rolled out of a clean pocket, and when you do that, you split the field in half. And right there, that's what forced Brown to have to make a desperation heave.
Jayhawks face third and 10 at their own 20. Second half, Kimoni Brown, 2 of 10 passing for 25 yards and a touchdown. High snap and a flag down from the referee. Going to be false start. Dane Simmons on the O-line called for the false start. I'll take the ball back to the 15-yard line. Just the third penalty unofficially against Jeanette tonight. The other two were on the defense, face mask in tackling Matt Sieg early, and then a first half defensive pass interference. Third down and 15. Snap goes over the head of Brown, back into the end zone. He runs, tracks it down, has four players, just going to throw the ball up for grabs. Far side, and it falls incomplete.
Yeah, that's just, ball goes over the quarterback's head. It's doomed, that play.
So now fourth and 15 for the Jayhawks. Well, you remember they punted the last time. Marcus McGowan was the punter. Brown has punted a couple of times, and Brown is looking like he's going to line up to do that. The clock at 2:02 to play here in the third quarter. Fort Cherry up 42-14. If, in fact, the Jayhawks go ahead and kick this, and Jeanette comes to the line of scrimmage with 12. It's a substitution infraction. That'll take the ball back to the 90-yard line. Or, I'm sorry, the 10-yard line. It's 90 yards from where they're going. That's my chart. You know, my chart, I said I wrote 90 down because that's how far they have to go. And Brown handles a floating snap and just gets the kick away, and it's partially blocked, and the ball is going to roll to about the 15-yard line. Another bad snap, and busting in to partially block, and it was Josh Silvera for Cherry now. And this is the point I was about to make. The Rangers score seven here, and the clock will run for the rest of the fourth quarter. They will have taken this from a two-score to a five-score game with a touchdown here. So 1:53 remaining, third quarter. Fort Cherry up 42-14. And the Rangers have the ball at the 15-yard line. Slot man Cook goes in motion across the set. Hand off to Huey. Huey gets inside the 15 to about the 12 before being taken down. Yards for Huey, 28 for Salvini, 21 for Yanosko. It's 79 yards rushing there. 220 for Matt Sieg. The Rangers have rushed for almost 300 yards tonight. Second down, we'll call it 7 at the 12. Sieg sends Cook in motion, fakes the handoff there, gives it off to Huey up the middle. He's inside the 10, over a player at the 5, and down at the 2. First and goal, Rangers.
Nice leap for Huey to get it all the way down inside the 3.
Final minute of the third quarter. It's first and goal for Cherry at the 2, trying to join Peters Township in the WPIL Finals. Huey, left side, touchdown. Huey's 9th rushing touchdown of the year. His 12th overall score this season, has an interception return touchdown and a couple of pass reception touchdowns. Peters Township wins 7-3 and will return to the WPIL championship game next week. Extra point kick by Massey is good. 45 seconds to play third quarter, and the clock will run except for official stoppages the rest of the way. Fort Cherry 49, Jeanette 14. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
Remember how great the old days felt? Windows rolled down, wind in your hair, date by your side. That feeling. But are you missing that feeling now when the lights go out? Curtis Pharmacy can help with Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra. Up to 80% less, as low as $1 a pill. Get the rush. Save the cash. Get to Curtis Pharmacy. All they need is your doctor's name and they do the rest. Curtis Pharmacy, your better way pharmacy.
This is Mark Baer from Bud Baer Mazda. Come in now for the Mazda A Season to Move You event. We have up to $1,250 in bonus conquest cash. That means you get that cash if you own almost any kind of vehicle in your household. And all applicable incentives. So if there's 0%, you get that. If there's $3,000, you get that. Go to BudBearMazda.com and get all the details.
Offer good on 2024 and 2025 Mazda CX-30, CX-50s, and select CX-70s and CX-90s.
Fort Cherry set to kick off. The kick will carry in the air back to Brown. He'll bring it right up the middle of the field. We'll stop and go move, try to get to the outside, and will. 25-30 to the 40. Massey put a shove on him and got him to the sideline, but big kickoff return for Kimoni Brown.
Yeah, that's going to end the quarter.
And we are at the end of three quarters. Fort Cherry 49, Jeanette 14. Back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation here on NFHS.
Hi, I'm Scott Day from the Day Insurance Agency here in Washington. When was the last time you reviewed your homeowner's policy? In recent years, the price of homeowner's insurance has gone up dramatically. In fact, some companies have raised their rates by as much as 35% in the last year. If you haven't reviewed your coverage lately, now is the time. You might be surprised at how much you can save. Call us at 724-228-3448, visit us online at dayinsurance.com, or stop by one of our offices in Washington or Hickory.
Imperial Land Corporation is proud to be developing real estate in Washington and Allegheny counties. Over 3,000 acres can accommodate any size development. The nearly 900-acre Fort Cherry Development District along PA 576 is prime commercial real estate minutes from the Pittsburgh Airport and I-79. Visit imperialland.com or call 412-424-0495 for development opportunities. Good luck to the Fort Cherry Rangers from Imperial Land Corporation.
38-yard kickoff return for Kimoni Brown to end the third quarter. Now the ball will be marked ready for play. It'll be Jeanette Ball right at the midfield stripe, first and 10 for the Jayhawks. And the clock is turning. I have Fort Cherry with 414 yards total offense. Running play comes this way, and right at the sideline, legs get cut out. Now a little mix-up here on the sideline. If you're Fort Cherry, you cannot get involved in anything extracurricular because you won't get to play next week.
Yeah,
that happens.
That was Sieg who came in and looked like he was shot out of a cannon making the tackle.
Took Mendoza down.
Yeah, credit to Sieg. He got out of there while the small scrape ensued.
3-yard run for Mendoza, who was slow to get up and will make his way toward the Jeanette sideline. Finish these numbers up for you. Fort Cherry, 311 yards rushing, 103 passing. Matt Sieg has only thrown one pass in the second half. 414 total through three quarters. Mendoza. Jeanette managed just 42 yards total offense in the third. 39 rush total, 17 of that in the third quarter, and 168 pass. So 17 yards rushing and 25 passing yards in the quarter for Jeanette. Second down and 7 for the Jayhawks. New quarterback in the game, Marcus McGowan. And he throws the ball to the near sideline, incomplete. McGowan into the game. And he actually, I believe, if I have this story correct, McGowan was the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year, but they realized how valuable Brown was when he had his hands on the ball all the time.
Yep.
And made that move. Pine Richland 28, Bethel Park 7. That's a final, so it'll be Pine Richland and Peters Township next Saturday night at Acrisure Stadium. McGowan launches one down the far sideline. Ball knocked away, incomplete. This time it was Brown, the intended receiver. Incomplete pass. Brown has caught four passes this year, but that heave incomplete. Seton LaSalle 27, Steel Valley 13. That is a final. So the 2 o'clock game we know has Seton LaSalle in it. Question is, can South Park finish off Elwood City? South Park was leading 21-7, last word we got. Fourth down and 7, Jeanette at the Fort Cherry 47. High snap, McGowan handles it. I think he wanted to kick the ball there. Now he's going to try to throw it. Keeps the play alive, gets hit, and the pass is intercepted. Hit as he threw it, interception Shane Cornally.
Yeah, that one, once again, due to the snap, a gift interception for Cornally.
Four turnovers plus a blocked punt allowed by Jeanette. 9:20 to play, fourth quarter. Fort Cherry up 49-14. And the Rangers ball back in hand one more time, but I don't think it's going to be in Matt Seek's hands.
Yeah, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, he is on the near sideline.
It's going to be Silvera, the backup quarterback.
Fort Cherry first and 10 at the 47. After the Cornally interception, running play, spun around and down, and now flags come in as well. A face mask penalty coming up against Jeanette. Jordan Bianchi, the ball carrier, he got spun around by the mask.
Yeah, that was clear.
So Bianchi, a loss of a yard, but the face mask penalty. We'll move it forward to the Jeanette 39 and a first down. Rangers standing at the line of scrimmage. First and 10 at the 39. And again, not much going up front, and the play stopped. Once again, it's Bianchi, the ball carrier. It's going to be a loss of a yard. The Bianchi's carried twice, lost a yard both times, and the Rangers are 13 yards better than when the drive started. Second down and 11. Fort Cherry will be thrilled to pieces just to let this clock keep on running. Clareton 24, Bishop Canavan nothing. That's a final. Running play, and there's nowhere to go. In on the tackle, Magi Sanders had a hold of the running back. And it's Bianchi stopped again for a loss of a yard.
He's consistent.
His average is -1 per carry. You don't want to run the ball too often with that kind of average. Third down and a dozen at the 41-yard line. 6:35 remaining in the game. Fort Cherry up 49-14. So Vera will hand it off, and that running play goes backwards. And guess what? Bianchi loses 2 this time. And the Rangers haven't punted often this year. The question is, will they hear? Going to take a bunch of time off the clock. play clock down to 15 now. Game clock at 5:50 and counting. And this is starting to get the look like a deep snap to punt. And trouble and a whistle and flags, and the Rangers moved before the snap. Other than the penalty, this possession has gone backwards for the Rangers. And now they're going to run their punt unit out there, their real punt unit.
Yeah, there's no surprise with that. Although, is that Sieg out
there? It is.
A little surprised you'd have him on the field for this. Punts are, of course, a little dangerous if the opposing team goes after it.
Rugby rollout punt inside the 20, rolls inside the 15, down inside the 10, and Jeanette's going to take over at its own 8-yard line. 4:50 to play, fourth quarter, 49-14, Fort Cherry leading. Jeanette back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a minute.
My Dream Field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Jeanette to take over at its own 8-yard line. First and 10. Final score, South Park, a 28-7 win over Elwood City. And now before we get the first snap here with 4 minutes to play in the ballgame, Jeanette uses the timeout to make sure they're set and ready to go. 49-14 Fort Cherry in the lead. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Become one of tomorrow's leaders today at Washington and Jefferson College. Visit WNJ to learn about our scholarships, leadership, and professional readiness opportunities. Talk with professors, coaches, and students. Schedule your campus visit today, in person or online, to explore all we have to offer. WNJ, your future, founded here. Visit washjeff.edu/visit to learn more. That's washjeff.edu/visit.
Founded in Fort Cherry and now brewing in Burgettstown, the Kramer family invites you to experience Kramer's Greenhouse and their Cole Tipple Brewery and Raccoon Creek Winery, home of Washington County's oldest craft brewery. They've been proud supporters of the area schools, scholars, and student athletes for four generations. Stop into their dog and kid-friendly tap and tasting room and learn more about their craft beer, handcrafted wine, and locally grown plants and products, or visit kramersgreenhouse.com.
Welcome back to Memorial Stadium in Canonsburg. 4 minutes to play. Jeanette to put the ball up. Pass from McGowan intended near side for Hunter Schaefer. Too tall and incomplete. I have McGowan 0-for-4 passing here now. Jayhawks lined up with three receivers this way. We're the only game in town. Everybody else is finished. Clareton 24-0 over Bishop Canavan, awaiting our winner. Seton LaSalle and South Park will play for the 2A title. Seton beating Steel Valley. South Park over Elwood City. Avonworth knocks off the number one seed, Imani Christian, 14-6. That's a final. And Central Valley beat Elizabeth Forward, 31-15. Pine Richland, 28-7 over Bethel Park. Peters Township, 7. Upper St. Clair, 3. McGowan will run for it on second down and 10, and he'll get to about the 10-yard line. 2 yards for McGowan. Now, third down and 8 for the Jayhawks. We're under 3 minutes remaining with a running clock here in the WPIAL 1A semifinals. It was two Washington County teams playing tonight. Both are going to win and go on to the WPIAL championship games. The first Washington County team to take the field this afternoon came up short. Bentworth soccer, boys soccer, losing in... Bentworth boys soccer losing in overtime. Third down and long. And I'm not sure exactly. You got that on? You have the replay there? No, you don't. Okay.
The right tackle just fell down. And then, yeah, if you can see it, he is covering up the right guard. It probably should have been a legal formation penalty, but I won't give that one in the blowout.
Not really sure at all what happened to Shea Wright, but ended up flat on his face. High snap. McGowan handles that, flushed out, and he will go ahead and kick the ball out. And it's going to hit out around the 45-yard line and kind of just roll laterally there. And the Rangers will have to snap it one, maybe two times and put this one in the books. And the clock continues to turn. We're coming up on a minute remaining in the ball game. Rangers coming to the near sideline. Kudos to referee Michael Jarosinski. He is in no hurry whatsoever to get out and mark the ball. I don't know that he can wait another 17 seconds there, but he may. Play clock has not started yet, and it looks like the officials are just going to let it end this way without another snap. Not sure. For some reason, the play clock started. The ball was never marked for play by the referee, but the play clock has started. Game clock under 30 seconds. And both teams look like they're just going to walk it off. And indeed, that is going to be the case. Fort Cherry, 49. Jeanette, 14. Second consecutive trip to the WPIL championship game for the Fort Cherry Rangers. We'll recap it for you when we come back to Memorial Stadium in Canonsburg here on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation on NFHS.
This is Coach Guy Monicalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
I'm RJ Diaz, your Safe Money Guy. If you're approaching retirement, we need to talk. I offer retirement income planning strategies with lower risk and guaranteed income. Call me, 412-569-4000. And remember, I offer safe money investing with zero fees. Let's get together for a free no-obligation review of your retirement plans. I'm RJ Diaz, your Safe Money Guy. 412-569-4000.
By way of recap, Matt Sieg ran for 17 carries, 220 yards, and 6 touchdowns. 5 of his last 8 carries went to the end zone. Talk about a dominating performance. And he closed the first half scoring on 3 straight runs.
Yep. that's efficiency right there. He made great use of every single touch he had. I mean, it's very, 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 very typical. I mean, it's what you come to expect from Matt Sieg, but shouldn't take it for granted the level of play that he puts out on a weekly basis.
And not to get lost here tonight, Jack, Jeanette scored twice. The first touchdown came after the Rangers defense had gotten a stop and special teams called for running into the kicker that gave Jeanette a first down. And two plays later, they got a 59-yard pass play to Jace Powell. The Jayhawks' second score came after the defense had forced a punt and the special teams receive unit muffed the punt. Jeanette took over, and four plays later, Kimoni Brown threw a 16-yard touchdown pass to Noah Sunder. The only points Jeanette scored tonight came after Fort Cherry should have taken the ball away.
Yep.
I have
dominant.
I have the Rangers finishing with 409 yards total offense. Jeanette barely half of that, 212 tonight, and the Jeanette Jayhawks ran for just 44 yards tonight. Got 168 yards passing from Kimoni Brown. It's a very young Jeanette team. Lonnie Green's a senior. Nick Stuchel is a senior. And that's it. Everybody else is coming back.
Yeah, as a young team, you know, you have to take your successes of this year. No one expected this team to go as far as they did. So you really have to tip your hat to Jeanette. A good season. You upset a couple different higher seeds in Neshanic and Greensburg Central. Good season for the Jayhawks, and they have to come back ready to fight next year.
Our coverage tonight here on WJPA brought to you in part by the law firm of Gordon and Reese. Continued best wishes to the Fort Cherry Rangers from Gordon and Reese and the entire Miller family. And there's a good size to that family all the way around. Good friends of the program, both the Fort Cherry program and the WJPA program as well. Get a timeout here. We'll be back with some more post-game thoughts after this timeout here on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Tackle a great career as a production associate at Precision Marshall Steel. Score starting wages of $25 to $30 an hour. Earn $35 an hour in just 2 years with rapid progression increases. PM Steel's playbook includes paid training, excellent benefits, 401k, and pension. Don't stand on the sidelines. Precision Marshall Steel. Visit 99 Berry Road or steeljobs.us for more info. Steeljobs.us. Join a winning team.
For 125 years, we've been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial Bank, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you.
And welcome back to the booth here at Memorial Stadium. Check all the semifinals tonight here in 1A, Fort Cherry 49, Jeanette 14, Clairton 24, Bishop Canavan nothing. Fort Cherry and Clairton play next Saturday morning, 11 o'clock at Acrisure Stadium. We'll have that game for you on the WJPA Sports Network. And just a note, we will be audio only next Saturday for that broadcast. In 2A, number 1, Seton LaSalle over Steel Valley, 27-13. Number 2, South Park, 28-7 winner over Elwood City. Seton LaSalle South Park will play at 2 o'clock at the confluence of the Rivers 3. In the 3A championship match, it'll be number 5, Avonworth, and number 2, Central Valley. Avonworth, a 14-6 winner over number 1, Imani Christian. And Central Valley, after falling behind 7-0 early, roared back to beat Elizabeth Forward 31-15. Avonworth, Central Valley, a 5 o'clock kickoff at Acrisure Stadium. And then we'll close the night with the 5A WPIL Championship. Number 1, Pine Richland, a 28-7 winner over Bethel Park. Pine Richland will take on Peters Township, the Indians' 7-3 winner over Upper St. Clair. So it'll be Pine Richland and Peters Township, 8 o'clock kickoff, and we'll have that game for you on the WJPA Sports Network as well. Coming up tomorrow, 4A championship game at Norwin Knight Stadium. Number 1, Thomas Jefferson. Number 3, McKeesport. They kick at 12:05. And then the 6A title match, 6.05 p.m. kickoff. Number one, Central Catholic. Number two, North Allegheny, playing in the title game for the third consecutive year. Time to recognize our player of the game, brought to you by Washington County College Center, operated by Community College of Beaver County.
Community College of Beaver County is now in Washington County. We are here with the support you need and the value you want at the Washington County College Center. Explore our in-demand career paths in aviation, education, and criminal justice, or start college early with dual enrollment courses and high school academies. At the Washington County College Center, your pathway to success starts right at home. Learn more at ccbcwashington.com.
And we talked about this at halftime. Whoever won the game, their quarterback was going to be the player of the game, almost certainly, that the primary elections had been completed. Kimoni Brown was the Jeanette nominee, and Matt Sieg was the Fort Cherry nominee. And Sieg just flat-out dominated tonight. 17 carries, 220 yards rushing, and six Fort Cherry touchdowns. He now has 29 rushing touchdowns on the year. Oh, and by the way, he completed 9 of 15 passes for 103 yards in addition, and had an interception as well that ended the first half. Yeah, Matt Sieg's our player of the game.
Yeah, I mean, easy decision. Just would like to shout out a couple other, you know, big players in the game. Shane Cornell had 49 yards receiving, all in the first half. He continues to make big play after big play for this team, comes up clutch. He also had an interception as well. Ryan Huey came in after, you know, easing his way back with the workload and had a solid performance with a touchdown. And really, you just have to shout out the entire front line for Fort Cherry defensively. Dominant performance. Nate Hirons always getting pressure in the backfield. It seems like he wins his block or wins his rush every single time. Just an impressive, impressive performance for Fort Cherry up front. And, you know, that's what they're going to need to do next week if they're going to beat this Clareton team. It's a stingy, stingy Clareton defense that, I mean, it has been impossible to score on in the last couple of months. So Fort Cherry's going to have to figure some things out to clean up some of the penalties and things like that. But this Ranger team is certainly going to be a tough out.
Clareton is now 13-0, and you want to talk about stingy. Their total team, however they scored, however it happened, they've given up three touchdowns all year in 13 games. That's pretty stingy. One more note about our player of the game, Matt Sieg. With his final completion of the night, with under a minute remaining in the first half, Matt Sieg crossed the 4,000-yard passing career mark. He already had crossed the 4,000-yard rushing mark, becomes just the second player in WPIL history to do that. The other was the great Terrell Pryor from Jeanette. Tonight's game on the WJPA Sports Network has been brought to you in part by the law firm of Gordon and Rees. Continued best wishes to Fort Cherry from Gordon and Rees and the entire Miller family. By Washington Financial Bank for 125 years, proud to be the bank that gets you. By Precision Marshall Steel, join a winning team. Log on steeljobs.us. And by Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation and Advanced Surgical Hospital. Coverage of the WPIL 1A semifinals brought to you by the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, celebrating our region's rich athletic tradition. By R.J. Diaz, your safe money guy in Bridgeville, Burgettstown, and Washington. By Kramer's Greenhouse, Cole Tipple Brewery, and Raccoon Creek Winery, born in Fort Cherry and brewing in Burgettstown. By Washington and Jefferson College, where changemakers get their start. Log on washjeff.edu. And by CNX Dreamfields, making your dream field come true. Our coverage tonight here on WJPA Sports Network and the NFHS Network, also brought to you by Imperial Land Corporation, supporting the Fort Cherry Rangers. By the Day Insurance Agency on East Maiden Street in Washington, Main Street in Hickory, online at dayinsurance.com, celebrating 50 years of service. By Bud Bear Mazda, Route 19 South in Washington, home of the Bud Bear Cares Rewards Program. by Curtis Pharmacy in Washington, Claysville, Connellsville, Carmichael's, and online at curtispharmacy.com. By Chem Oil in Oakdale and TJ's Deli Mart and McDonald. From the Chem family to your family, enjoy the ride safely. And by Washington County College Center, operated by Community College of Beaver County. Tomorrow afternoon, Washington and Jefferson travels to Meadville to take on Allegheny in the PAC finale. Presidents are 8-1 and need a win to earn a return trip to the NCAA Division III playoffs for the first time since 2018. W&J clinches the league's automatic bid with a win and a Grove City win over Westminster. We'll have President's Football Preview at 12:30, kickoff 1 o'clock on WJPA AM and online. Saturday night, it's an SEC showdown. Tennessee visits Georgia. Pregame starts at 7 on WJPA AM. Sunday, the Steelers host Baltimore. First place in the AFC North on the line. Airtime 12 noon, kickoff 1 o'clock. Sunday night, we've got the Bengals and Chargers. And Monday night football features a Texas showdown, the Texans and Cowboys in Dallas. Pregame for Sunday night and Monday night football starts at 7:30 on WJPA AM. Next weekend, our high school football coverage will include at least the 1A and 5A WPIL championships. We'll get started with Fort Cherry Clareton at 11 and Pine Richland Peters Township at 8 o'clock. Our thanks to head coaches Tommy Pallone and Tanner Gary, to Ken McMillan, athletic director Frank Volcano, and the entire crew here at Memorial Stadium in Cannonsburg. For my partner Jack Sacco, director Jason Tennant, Josh Laird, Dasha Skolnekovich, and Brandon Bennett on camera, Noah Tennant on scoreboard graphics, and Jacob Knisner producing in our downtown Washington studios. I'm Bob Gregg. Thanks so much for being with us. Your final score in the WPIL 1A semis, Fort Cherry 49, Jeanette 14. This has been a presentation of the WJPA Sports Network on NFHS.